It's still hitting. For some people, Hurricane Katrina could last for the rest of their lives. This is a country that comes together in times of need. Do whatever you can. Please help these people put their lives back together. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or go to redcross.org and click Donate Now. If it takes a while, keep trying. Please help the devastated victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters each year. Go to redcross.org or call 1-800-HELP-NOW. Right now, the sun is shining, but the work has just begun. Brought to you by the American Red Cross, the Ad Council, and this station.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement. Saturday, October 15th, 2005, in Washington, D.C. St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement, call 361-9191 or toll free 866-361-9191 or online at mmmstlouis.org. It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March, the Millions More Movement.
Hello, this is Jimmy Carter. Since 1982, Habitat for Humanity has been building houses and hope in the countries of Asia. But for hundreds of thousands of people, hope turned to despair last December when a tsunami struck. Lives, families, villages, entire communities were swept away. And those who survived the tragedy found their ways of life changed forever. When the water receded, Habitat was there, assessing the damage and making plans to rebuild. Today, Habitat building centers are being established to provide jobs, to teach new skills, and to offer people the dignity to rebuild not only their houses, but their lives. Our commitment, as always, is long-term, and we will build more than 35,000 houses in India, Sri Lanka, Thailand, and Indonesia over the next 2 years. I urge you to join me and support the work of Habitat for Humanity in your own community and around the world. Visit Habitat.org.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gehr, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of today's Solutions with Dave Lenihan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
Time now for another edition of The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, help me understand. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, help me understand.
Tonight, remember saying that God was a new name. my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches. There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air will be
is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to get to me via the internet, that's revolution@lizbrown.com, revolution@lizbrown.com. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways, get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. You know, one of the things about being in working in an organization, I think that this is true. When you work in an organization, sometimes there are communication breakdowns. Sometimes there are people don't do everything that they're supposed to do. We're human beings, we're fallible. We don't always get the job done the way that the job is supposed to be done. And sometimes, you know, I guess the modern way of speaking, the modern way of describing this, out of the loopness, just didn't get the memo. So I was thinking about just didn't get the memo as I was listening to, and I have to admit, with my mouth wide open, to the words of Michael Brown. I was thinking of the phrase, didn't get the memo, because apparently he didn't get the memo, Brownie, as he is affectionately known by other incompetents, Brownie didn't get the memo that we weren't playing the blame game. This is a man that said, you know what? I have the worst resume in the history of this entire organization to run this organization. Every job that I've had, I've been fired from or had to leave. My only claim to fame is that I had a college roommate that gave me some hookup. This man, I don't know what vitamin that you take. You know, maybe it's just vitamin AH. I don't know. But, you know, this guy said, I'm not responsible for anything. Anything that happened in New Orleans. He looked folks in the face and he said, it's my fault that some poor person didn't have 5 gallons of gasoline to get out of Louisiana. That's their fault. And I, he didn't get the, he didn't take responsibility, doesn't take responsibility. Well, all right, I apologize. I've overstated the situation. He did take responsibility for two things. He said, number one, he would have set up regular media briefings instead of conducting television interviews. He said, I very strongly personally regret I was unable to persuade Blanco and Nagin to sit down to get over their differences and work together. You know why he regretted regular media briefings? Is because he couldn't get the message out the way that he wanted to. He couldn't get George W. Bush's message out. You know, the underlying messages is that incompetence are us. He couldn't get out George W. Bush's message that Brownie's doing a great job when you have this chick over here and this black dude over here messing up my game. That's what he's upset about. That's what he's troubled about. That's what he's struggling with. That's what he is teed off about. I couldn't get that chick in Louisiana to sit down and take my orders. That black dude out there was making me look bad. And if you don't think this is about gender, and if you don't think this is about race, who does he compliment? The other two white male governors. Now, mind you, I don't think that this is inclusive of every single fact. I don't think that this thing that the difference between who had work to do and who had a PR campaign to run. Let me say it again. Who had work to do, who had a PR campaign to run. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. You dress for the job that you're in. Okay? Now, the governor of Mississippi, M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I, what's it? M-I, crooked letter, humpback, I-P-P-I. The governor of Mississippi, Hallie Barber, went to a press conference. No. He was interviewed on a television show. And the president of Broussard County or Broussard Parish went to the same conference. I mean, same was or on the same news show. Hallie Barber had on makeup. Hallie Barber had on a freshly pressed jacket, straight out the little plastic dry cleaning bag. He had on skillfully applied television makeup, looked like he had a tan, looked like he just got from under a tanning bed. He was clean, he was shaven. He looked like he had gotten some sleep that night because he was on his J-O-B. He was on the PR job. Little boy from Louisiana looked like he hadn't slept in 3 days, and he hadn't. Looked like he hadn't had time to get it. He had no mirror time at all. He had a baseball hat on and 4 days worth of beard on his face. And looked pale as snow. Who was on their job? Who was on their PR campaign? Yeah. Halle Barber had time to Haley Barber had time to get studio makeup on, get a press jacket, get a press shirt, get shaved, get cleaned up, get some rest for his national appearance. So apparently he had a little bit more time on his hand than others out here. Others out here. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my tax fax. I'm going to go through some of the specifics of the lies. And I believe this very strongly. Brownie. You're doing a great job, Brownie. He didn't take this position of, there is nothing I did wrong except handle the PR poorly. Not as effectively as I would have liked to. I do not believe for one New York second that Michael Brown has taken this position of, I didn't do anything wrong, without the direction, without the encouragement, without the help, without the strategy of the White House. Stonewall. They can't do nothing to you. Stonewall. Blame it on the black guy. Blame it on the chick. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. Stonewall. Stonewall. Because you didn't do nothing wrong. I don't believe for 1 second that this boy is in this by himself. Got to this stonewalling piece without consultation. They didn't leave him out there to hang and dry, twisting in the wind. And I'm going to get to some of the specifics of the lies that he is told, the fearless lies that he is told. The attitudinal lies that he is told. 454-0400 is my phone number. But in the meantime, in the in-between time, the fact of the matter is that FEMA, even in the absence of Michael, of Brownie, FEMA is now going to reimburse faith groups for their aid. This will be the first time the government has made large-scale payments to religious groups for helping to cope with a domestic natural disaster. And I think that this is such an interesting thing. Let me get this straight. All of these right-wing conservatives out here that are pitching and moaning about government supposed to pay for a natural disaster, when they look at the cost of Katrina, it's not the government's responsibility to pay for that. What are they going to say now that the government is in the business of fattening the coffers of religious people? You think that anybody has put their political finger in their mouth, wetted it a little bit, and then stuck it in the wind? And when they stuck their political finger in the wind and they felt the wind on their finger, do you think they felt the wind coming from the direction of, we can really get a whole lot of votes from folks within the religious community? The religious leaders out here have the ability to gather their parishioners, their folks together, and get them to vote the way that we want, we can really control this country. If we get the clerics, the religious folks, on our side. How do we get them on our side? The same way that Caesar got folks on his side when he was ruling Rome. You go and you give them money, and they do what you want them to do. And it's deeper than that. FEMA's also trying to quell the criticism. How do you quell the criticism? Throw money at it. They'll shut up. Throw money at it. 454-0400 is my phone number. We're going to take a break, folks. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. We're going to take a quick break here. I'll be back. Stay with me.
But all of the money in the whole wide world is not gonna help you in the end. Now while there's still time to be saved, don't take that attitude to your grave. Might be too late for you, I'm afraid. So don't take that attitude to your grave. Don't you take it.
Fix the faucet. Put up a new shelf. Organize a closet. Rip out an old carpet. Hi, I'm Bob Vila. No matter what type of home renovation you're planning, put this at the top of your to-do list. Check your family's tetanus booster status. Any minor wound, such as a cut or scrape, can put you at risk for tetanus infection. Maybe you wear safety gear to help reduce wounds, but an up-to-date vaccination called the TD booster is your only sure protection. Because you need a routine vaccine every 10 years to prevent both tetanus and diphtheria, another potentially fatal disease. If it's been more than 10 years since your last TD booster, then it's not just your house that's out of date, it's you. Contact your healthcare provider or local health clinic to find out if it's time for a tetanus booster to keep your protection strong. If it's been 10, do it again. A public service message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases and this station. To learn more, visit nfid.org.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Chick Quattro Power. 70 eastbound from 79 is starting stack up. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side all the way on to Cleves Landing looks good. Westbound 40 slows at Poplar. Northbound 55 to Arsenal. It looks to be a clear shot this morning. Eastbound 40 from Clarkson all the way to 270. No problems to report. Northbound 270 from 44 to Marshall. Everything looks good. Northbound Route 3 onto the PSB. It is slow in the right lane. 5570 from the 5570 split all the way into the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect no problems in your 6:30 commute. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Chick Quattro Power. New Chick Quattro Power. It has four blades and power near the head for a smooth glide and a close, less irritating shave. Turn on the power of four, available at a store near you. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Areas of fog until late morning. Partly cloudy in the morning, then showers and thunderstorms are likely by this afternoon with a high near 80. For this evening, breezy, cooler, showers and thunderstorms are likely in the evening, and partly cloudy after midnight with a low in the upper 40s. Thursday, cooler, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 60s. Thursday evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 40s. And then on Friday, mostly sunny skies once again with a high in the lower 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under clear skies, we have 64 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clear skies and 64 degrees as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams.
Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
I like some cookies. Potato chips. Candy. Ice cream.
Brownies. Marshmallows.
Cotton candy.
Left to their own devices, children wouldn't always eat right.
Chocolate donuts for breakfast.
I want pizza. Pizza. Pizza.
Popcorn.
That's why they have you.
French fries.
And you have WIC. WIC provides nutrition information, healthcare referrals, even food to women, infants, children. It's confidential and free. To find out more about WIC, our nearest location, or if you qualify for our benefits, call 1-866-WIC-INFO. That's 1-866-WIC-INFO. Your child has you.
Pepperoni pizza.
And you have WIC. Brought to you by the National WIC Association and the Ad Council.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gere, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of today's Solutions with Dave Lenahan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement.
Saturday, October 15th, 2005, in Washington, D.C.
St. Louis, you can get involved today.
The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement, call 361-9191 or toll free 866-361-9191 or online at mmmstlouis.org. It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. The Millions More Movement.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Some kids have and some kids don't, and some of
one voice was heard. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And we have much, much, much to talk about. Much, much, much to talk about. And don't forget, the show is archived daily. Also, iPod. White Rose Society.org. You need to get up.
you need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Car phone.
Good morning.
Steve, good morning.
How you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Hey, it's my understanding this grand jury is out right now, and we'll be releasing stuff on Karl Rove or something at the beginning of October.
That is correct.
I wonder if anybody's noticed Karen Hughes has stepped back into the picture. She's been going over to the Middle East doing a look-see tour.
That's right.
Yeah. I wonder if anybody knows that.
You know, and
I mean, that's kind of buried underneath all this hurricane stuff.
Well, there's all kinds of stuff that's being buried. How about what is going on with Frist? You know, there's a whole lot of stuff going on that is percolating along right underneath the media coverage of Katrina and of Rita.
And let's not forget Tom DeLay.
That's right.
He's got a world of trouble coming his way, too.
That's right.
I just wanted to bring that to somebody's attention.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. In case you haven't heard, and it's possible that you haven't, the man who wants to be president, the man who could diagnose Terri Schiavo in abstentia, the man who says that you can get AIDS from tears, and I must say a United States senator, by the by, and a MD, by the by. Money going to be the downfall. Money, greed, gluttony is going to be the downfall. In case you haven't heard, Frist faces dual investigation, one by the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York and the other by the Securities and Exchange Commission into his stock sales. Now, see, if Martha Stewart can go to trial, if Martha Stewart can go to jail for allegedly taking advantage of some insider information and selling stocks accordingly, we have something that is doubly nasty wrong about the good doctor. Money's going to be the downfall. Money is what is that phrase? Money is the what? The root of all evil? Money is the what? The root of all evil. Evil in this case, coming in the form of Senator Bill Frist. No, Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist. He wants to be president. Dual investigations. What are they saying? When these rich folks take these jobs, buy these jobs of being United States senators or congresspeople, they're supposed to put their money, a lot of their money, in a blind trust. That way that they can argue on stuff, they can represent people without giving the appearance or without seeking advantage in a particular company. If you know that some legislation is getting ready to go down that's going to affect one of your stocks, how are you going to behave? How are you going to act? How are you going to respond? So they've created this thing called a blind trust. Now, Senator Frist, either he ought to go to Vegas or buy a lottery ticket because he's the luckiest son of a gun on earth. Or he knew. You see, he sold his assets right before a stock plummeted. The stock was HCA, a chain of hospitals founded in the late 60s by Frist's father and brother. At the time of the sale, insiders were also selling. Shortly after that, the stock price dipped because of a warning that earnings would not meet Wall Street expectations. And if Frist was actively involved in the decision to sell his stock, he has to supply an explanation of how that's consistent with a blind trust. How are you selling something that you ain't supposed to know that you have? I mean, you know, I don't think we need to talk to Helen Keller or Stevie Wonder about the definition of what blind is. If you're selling something that you aren't supposed to know that you have, you ain't blind. You ain't blind. And as a medical doctor, you ought to know that. Frist received regular updates of transfers of assets to his blind trust. He was also able to initiate the sale. And shortly after the sale, the stock price plummeted. Oh, you is a crook. You is a crook. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want a toll-free long distance, may do that. Do that. We're going to take a break right now. I'll get to your calls when I get back. Stay with me. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Katrina has blown some wind, folks. Opened up some doors. Shown some light. Exposed some folks. And it ain't over yet. Stay with me.
My peeps who passed away. So, woman, don't cry. No, woman, don't cry.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline, Washington. Senate Republican leader Bill Frist says there was nothing wrong with his sale of stock he owned in his family's health care company. Two federal investigations have started after it was made public that Frist sold his stock a month before the value dropped over 10%. According to Frist, he and his staff spent months checking the legal and ethical aspects of the sale. He said the stock was in a blind trust and he had begun researching if he could sell it because of criticism that his health care initiatives were being influenced by his ownership of the nation's largest for-profit health care corporation. And Dateline Newport News. The military says something is missing in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. 36 bottleneck dolphins, specially trained to shoot terrorists with toxic dart guns. The coastal compound where they were held was breached during the storm and swept them out to sea. Divers and surfers are at risk of being attacked by these animals, which are considered to be the smartest on the planet. The dolphins were believed to be kept in training ponds near Lake Pontchartrain. The program was started in San Diego in 1989 when the mammals were fitted with harnesses and small electrodes and were taught to protect Trident submarines in harbors and at sea. The program was stepped up after the USS Cole was attacked with a terrorist bomb in 2000. The dolphins have also been used to detect mines at a port in Iraq. The concern is that the animals may attack a swimmer or recreationalist with their dart guns. The chemical is a tranquilizer designed to put someone to sleep and capture them for later interrogation. But what'll happen to someone who's offshore and not located right away? This is your wake-up call global news update.
The St. Louis Day of Play will take place on Saturday, October 1st from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Tandy Recreation Center, 4206 Kennerly in the Greaterville community. Children from kindergarten through the ninth grade will gather to enjoy a day of structured games, activities, and plenty of fun. For more information, call Linda McClurkin at 314-454-9630. News to children from WGNU.
The Citizens Commission on Human Rights of St. Louis Incorporated presents the Electric Shock Radio Hour. A call-in radio talk show airing on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, this Friday from 10 to 11 p.m., hosted by Roger Teagarden, Executive Director of Citizens Commission on Human Rights of St. Louis.
Burundi, Congo, Ghana, India, Indonesia, Kenya, Liberia, Malawi, Mexico, Myanmar, Nepal, the Philippines, Romania, Russia, Sierra Leone, South Africa, Swaziland, Thailand, Uganda. 20 countries on 4 continents, all with one thing in common. Hope for the Nations is working with children at risk, walking in God's love, listening and sensitively responding to the needs at hand, and promoting the interests of others in these diverse locations, with the goal of turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders. Learn more about Hope for the Nations and get involved in this worldwide nonprofit outreach. Visit www.hopeforthenations.com. www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations since 1994.
Congratulations! You found Radio Free St. Louis at AM 920 WGNU, also online at WGNU.net.
Since 1977, Home Services, Inc. has helped St. Louis's disabled and elderly residents stay in their own homes longer. From repairing and modifying homes in the area to keeping neighborhoods safe, Home Services, Inc. has been there for thousands. If you or someone you know needs accessibility, safety, or weatherization improvements to their home, call 314-531-9779. If you would like to make a financial contribution to this nonprofit organization, send it to Home Services, Inc., 3755 Forest Park Avenue, St. Louis, Missouri. 63108.
We're waiting for your calls at WGNU. From the local calling area, just dial 314-454-0400. If you're calling long distance, the toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. If you are calling long distance from a car phone or want to use a particular name on the air, please let us know when you call. Get into Talk Radio with a Difference. That's Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Holding back the years, thinking about the fear I've had so long. When somebody here listen to the fear that's gone.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll free long distance me, do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Oh, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say that the resignation of Brown, the director of FEMA, I was going to ask you the question. I understand that he's got a consulting contract with the government for 2 weeks. Is that severance pay?
It's better than severance pay. It's better than severance pay.
Okay, thank you.
All right, 454-0400 is my phone number. And again, given the fact that you have to relentlessly continue to put together all of the facts that are being brought to you. Why is Brownie blaming the Democrats and praising the Republicans in front of God and everybody? Why is he doing that? Why is he so relentlessly blaming the man, the black man, and the white woman, Democrats, and praising the white men, Republicans? He's been told to do that. This has Karl Rove's fingerprints all over it. This has George W. Bush's fingerprints all over it. And you have to understand the atmosphere that you're in, and you have to understand and absorb the unintentional confessions that are taking place all around you. These people believe that money will make anybody shut up and do what they want them to do. That's why they're giving churches money. Shut up. FEMA, George W. Bush is handing out money to churches through FEMA in order to get people to shut up and let George Bush do what he wanted to do. These are gluttonous, greedy, lawless, incompetent people. And pro-drugs in the worst kind of way. And the only way that people like that can continue to thrive, continue to exist, continue to do their thing, is in an atmosphere of fear, an atmosphere of lack of will, and an atmosphere of overwhelmingness. Overwhelmed with my job and with my paying my bills, doing all that kind of stuff. You don't think so? You don't think that we live in an atmosphere of fear through this administration? North Carolina. A high school student's class project on freedoms in the United States. Note the irony here. The ironery. Note the irony here. A high school student's class project on freedoms in the United States attracted who? Secret Service came to their school. Secret Service agents visited Currituck County High School on Tuesday after receiving a report that a student had created a potentially threatening photographs of George W. Bush. What is a threatening photograph? Sandy Kinzel, a school spokesman, said the Secret Service questioned the students about a photograph that he had taken for a class project on freedoms. In the student's photograph, a photograph of George Bush is fastened to the wall with a thumbtack. Over the picture of George Bush is a thumbs-down sign. The thumbtack in the photo apparently was placed on Bush's head. I'll be... A high school student put a thumbtack in the forehead of a photograph of George W. Bush, and not one, but two Secret Service agents showed up at that baby school and questioned him, concerned that the thumbtack might represent a potential threat to George W. Bush. The company that developed the film notified the authorities. The student was not at school, but the agents talked to the student and the student's parents. The Secret Service closed its investigation after learning that the photo was nothing more than a creation of a class project. No charges will be filed in the case. You know what? Speechless. This just leaves you speechless. But be mindful. Be mindful of the atmosphere that would cause a Secret Service agent to get off of his rusty dusty and go to a high school class to look at a film of a high school student. Understand that the fact that they showed up at the school at all sends waves of intimidation throughout that school. It tells students that, you know what, don't even think about saying anything negative about this administration. Ain't that some stuff? Not one, but two Secret Service agents went to a high school to talk to a student about a film of a photo of George W. Bush with a thumbtack in it and a thumbs down. Now, let me ask you this. If the thumbtack had been thumbs up, would they have come? Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Woo! We got work to do, serious work to do. In the next hour, of course, it's the St. Louis Public Schools Watch with Peter Downs. We've got much to report, folks. Stay with us.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. There will be a new round of finger-pointing today on Capitol Hill at a Senate hearing on the chaos that followed Hurricane Katrina. Yesterday, ex-FEMA Chief Michael Brown told House lawmakers that Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco was partly to blame. She will testify today. Brown also accused New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin of failing to cooperate with federal relief efforts. Nagin called those comments unfortunate.
For a FEMA director to be, you know, in Washington and trying to deflect attention off of his performance is unbelievable to me.
And something else the House panel wasn't happy about.
Michael Brown will remain on the government's payroll for at least two more weeks as a consultant to FEMA. But some House committee members say that's not acceptable, given his questionable ability to do his job.
ABC's Monica Schumann in Washington. While hearings go on this morning, people in the East Texas city of Jasper are still waiting for essential services. Jeff Sargent is a volunteer worker from Arizona.
A lot of people evacuated to Jasper thinking it wasn't coming this far, and now we've got a situation where we don't have fuel yet, we don't have air, we don't have power, we have limited water pressure. It's becoming serious.
Thousands of residents in Beaumont and Port Arthur, Texas, have been evacuated to shelters in San Antonio until services like power and water are restored to their neighborhoods. St. Vincent Medical Center in Los Angeles has shut down its liver transplant program after a Saudi patient was pushed to the top of the waiting list. CEO Gus Valdespino.
We have conducted an investigation, have spent several days with the physicians, and we have not been able to get a clarification of what their motivations were at the time.
Two physicians have been fired. And Scott Peterson, on death row for killing his wife, Lacey, is trying to collect her $250,000 life insurance policy. So is the dead woman's mother. It goes to court next month. This is ABC News.
So you had the big meeting yesterday. The boss was cranky from 6 hours on the red eye. Dan left the presentation in the cab, and you sat on a 4-inch window ledge for 90 minutes.
Next time, web conference with Microsoft Office Live Meeting and have a more productive meeting without leaving your office. Present to clients around the globe, collaborate in real time, even get instant feedback by taking a live poll.
Try it free for 14 days at Microsoft.com/WorkLive. That's Microsoft.com/WorkLive or call 1-877-MEET-WEB today.
My friend Jean and I are having lunch and talking about the new Medicare prescription drug coverage.
So anyone with Medicare can get it, no matter what your income?
Yeah, or your health, or how many prescriptions you take.
So what do I have to do?
Well, you have to choose a plan and sign up. But first you have to order before I faint.
Sign up for Medicare prescription drug coverage begins November 15th. Call 1-800-MEDICARE or visit Medicare.gov. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Music hath charms to soothe the savage Burgundy? ABC's Linda Albin says that's the case in Italy.
Mozart heard on the grapevine has, according to one Italian grape grower, made his plants mature more quickly, boosting production without loss of potency. About 4 years ago, Carlo Signozzi decided to share his taste for music with his grapevines, playing the Mozart through loudspeakers in the vineyard. So amazing was the result that Florence University has set up experiments, exposing some plants to music while growing others in near silence. Other plants are being subjected to a range of frequencies, and lo and behold, some roots are growing towards the source of sound. The effects of heavy metal have yet to be tested for fear of bruising the grapes. Linda Albin, ABC News, London.
Woodstock, New York, world famous for the 1969 rock concert, which was actually held in nearby Bethel, is holding its sixth annual film festival this week. Actor Steve Buscemi will receive the Maverick Award for creativity and independent vision. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Wednesday, a new law that makes it a crime for any adult to help a minor in the state of Missouri get an abortion will not go into effect right away. A state judge has issued a temporary restraining order preventing the enforcement of the law that was passed during the special legislative session. The ruling comes in response to a lawsuit filed by Planned Parenthood. A new labor movement is coming together to encourage workers nationwide to organize. The new movement, Change to Win, is comprised of 7 unions. The group plans to focus 75% of its budget on organizing the working people. Chairman Anna Berger explains why it's important to organize.
When 1 in 3 workers was in a union, they had a very powerful voice. And as a result, you could raise a family, buy your own home, send your kids to college, have health care, and retire with security. And now, as we only have 1 in 12 workers in the private sector, 1 in 10 workers in the union, their voice is getting quieter and weaker. We believe that the way to change that is just have a strong labor movement with workers united in our unions.
During yesterday's founding convention held in St. Louis, delegates ratified a constitution and passed resolutions on organizing, diversity, and politics. The Federation estimates that the collective organizing expenditures of Change to Win will be $750 million a year. Beta blockers may not be the best medicine for all heart patients. A new study out of the Washington University School of Medicine suggests that some people's genetic makeup makes them predisposed to problems, including death, if they take beta blockers. Dr. Howard McLeod, one of the researchers on the study, says further research is still needed. Beta blockers are used to stop the interaction of adrenaline in the body, which slows the heartbeat and lowers blood pressure. Finally this hour, Chris Carpenter will make his final regular season start this evening when the Cardinals conclude their 2-game series with the Astros at Busch Stadium. Carpenter is trying to end a stretch in which he has allowed 17 runs in his last 15 and two-thirds innings. However, the Cards ace is 21-5 overall, and he is 4-0 with an 0.82 ERA this year against Houston. Brandon Bakke will make the start for the Astros and brings a 4.59 ERA into the game to go along with a 10-8 record. The right-hander has won his past 2 starts by giving up just 1 run in 13 and two-thirds innings. The Astros lead the National League wildcard race by 2.5 games over the Phillies. Game time is 7:10. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Ashley Furniture Home Stores. The Ashley Furniture Home Store means big savings for you, like no interest and no payments for 1 year. Ashley Furniture Home Store in Kirkwood and South County. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. Eastbound 70 to 270, an injury accident is on the right shoulder. There are no delays at this hour. Westbound 5570 at Poplar Street Bridge. All roadways are reopened after an earlier stall has been cleared onto Memorial Drive. Traffic jams back at 203. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed through the end of the month due to maintenance work. Northbound 270 from Gravoy to Marshall, it's stop and go. Westbound 270 at New Halls Ferry, look for heavy volume there. Eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and 79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh, you've got heavy volume there. Eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Hanway is slow. Westbound 64 from 25th onto the 5570 split, look for slow traffic. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from Monsanto onto the PSB, it is slow as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is jammed on the left ramp, slow then all the way to the Illinois Bank. Southbound U.S. 67 at Meyer, there's a report of an accident. And Route 30 east of Dittmer, there's a report of an accident as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight ground or even the heavy stuff, you can rely on the ultimate in reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Areas of fog till late this morning, otherwise partly cloudy in the morning. Then showers and thunderstorms are likely this afternoon with a high in the upper 80s. For this evening, breezy, cooler, showers and thunderstorms are likely in the evening and partly cloudy after midnight with a low in the upper 40s. Thursday, look for cooler, mostly sunny skies with a high in the upper 60s. Thursday evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 40s. Then on Friday, look for mostly sunny skies with a high in the lower 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 65 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 64 under partly cloudy conditions. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call at St. Louis Public Schools Watch with Peter Downs. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly in-depth look at developments affecting the education of our children.
Welcome, welcome to St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Of course, I'm here with Peter Downs. I'm Liz Brown. My number here is 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU. And we are broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
You and I were talking before we went on the air, and I don't know. Today just kind of strikes me as very, very, very sad. It's even though you've been predicting it, I've been predicting it, others have been predicting the aftermath of Hurricane Roberti. It's still heartbreaking when you when it comes true. You know, I mean, I wish I was wrong. I wish you were wrong. I wish that others had been wrong. But the aftermath is what we predicted. Talk to us about enrollment in St. Louis Public Schools.
All right. At the school board meeting last week, they gave a report on the start of school. And they gave a report on enrollment.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the numbers that jumped out at me was they reported that they have 652 pre-kindergarten students.
This is in a district of some 35,000
yes.
students.
Yes.
Just at the onset, before you even say anything or explain anything, that sounds like an awfully low number.
Yes, it does. That's why I know it's a very low number.
You know, again, a district that has 35,000 plus students, only 600 and how many?
652.
So barely 600, you know, just 600, just over 600 students in preschool. Talk to us about that number.
Yeah. There has been a lot of attention in social services and education circles last several years on how important preschool is to how well children do later in school. Getting that early training and being in a school, that early introduction to the alphabet, to the English training, all that. And
words and just
words.
Talking and communicating and getting to know other kids and how to conform your behavior and things like that.
Right, right. And there are various campaigns, you know, aim at trying to make, you know, universal preschool. In St. Louis, I mean, the importance of preschool was recognized back with the DSEG agreement. And as part of the settlement of the DSEG case, there was a very specific, measurable commitment that the St. Louis public schools had to make towards pre-kindergarten. And they had to commit to having 2,086 pre-kindergarten seats. 2,086. So here we are. We have less than a third of that in a district of 35,000 kids.
And when was the last time that we had about 2,000 kids in preschool in the St. Louis public school?
You know, I don't think we ever reached that level. But the last number available for enrollment before that this was reported for this year, 2 years ago, the year of Roberti, in the fall there, we started school. After he had closed 17 schools, he closed 17 schools with pre-kindergarten. So he closed 17 pre-kindergarten classrooms, and he didn't move them all to new schools. He closed these classrooms. Even then, the enrollment was 1,242 children in pre-kindergarten.
So pre-Roberti, we had over 1,000 kids.
Pre-Roberti, it was about 14. The year before Roberti, was about 1,400 kids in pre-K.
Okay. Okay. After Roberti came in and closed all the schools with the help of Shamel and Archibald and
Slay
and all of those, after Roberti, we lost 1,000 kids? I mean, about 400 kids or so?
Well, we lost about 200 kids.
200 kids in pre-K. And then now, after Roberti, we're down to 652.
We're down to 652. We have, in 3 years, the enrollment in pre-K has dropped by 50%.
Now, what is that? What can we extract from that? What is the meaning of that, other than obviously we don't have the kids in the school, but what ramifications does this have for the district? Is this an ominous sign for the district?
Well, I think it is. Now, the district has been saying, oh, well, all the drop in enrollment is because of the falling birth rate. And you go back 5-6 years. I don't think we had half as many births in the city.
I don't think
suddenly.
So either, because that would have been on national news. It doesn't drop like that. The birth rate doesn't drop like that. There's something else going
on.
Yeah,
no, this is, you know, pre-K, that's when families are making the decision where they're going to send their kids to school. And I think after Roberti, a lot of people didn't listen to this show when you were saying when Roberti first got here.
Shut it down.
They heard there was a mess, and they said, okay, well, maybe he's going to clean it up. But they see what actually happened, and they're making the decision about St. Louis Public Schools, we aren't going there.
And when we had the campaign to shut the school down, to not have kids go to class on the first day, when you did your numbers, a lot of people didn't go to school on the first day. And what we said at that time was, people are going to continue to vote with their feet.
Right.
You know, while they may not be willing to march down the middle of Main Street and demand that others do as they do, they're going to do for their families what needs to be done. And what families are doing, they are taking a hard look at the city of St. Louis public schools, and they're saying, this school district is too messed up. The school district does not offer my child what my child needs. This school district doesn't care about the educational future of my child. This school district spends, businesses have made the same decision. This school district, we're not going to give money to the school district because this school district pays $300,000 to a guy to run a district that has no superintendent certification from any state in the union. So people are voting with their feet.
Yes, yes. And I think the thing to note here is that there are certain times when people are more likely to vote with their feet than others. You have a child who is going to start his senior year in high school.
Mm-hmm.
You don't pull them out then.
And
you let them finish high school.
Plus, they can talk back to you, and they can also, you know, weigh in on the decision-making.
Right,
you know,
right.
Yeah, so they're going to, and you're going to let them weigh in on the decision-making because,
right.
You know, it's closer to their life. But a first grader, not the same thing.
That's right. Or if a child, even in elementary school, has mm-hmm. been at an elementary school for 3 years,
mm-hmm.
knows all the teachers, knows the other kids, all their friends are there, and you say, well, another 2 years before we change schools, you let them stay for those 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and then you make the change.
Yeah.
Pre-K, like I said, that's the time. That's the first decision.
That's right.
We were looking at where we're going to send a kid with the idea that this could be for their whole school life.
Exactly. Exactly.
And they're saying, no, we aren't going here. We aren't going to St. Louis Public Schools.
What people are saying, Peter, is that we are not going to commit to the St. Louis City Public Schools because
right.
the future is uncertain and my child's life is not worth that experimentation.
Right.
People are saying, I'm not going to commit to the St. Louis Public Schools. And... Well, even though they may not read every edition of your newspaper, even though they may not listen to any of the shows that we put out here, they are still getting the information that this is a district that you cannot trust the future of your child's education to.
Yeah, and that's very much the conclusion people are reaching. Now, I do want to emphasize here, or I want to add, the district itself cut back the number of seats in pre-K.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But even so, even... In this case, the district allocated 750 classroom seats to pre-K this year.
But they
couldn't make that. Even though they cut back, they still couldn't make their numbers.
Tell us about Kennard, because I think that this also is another one of those voting with their feet. The people that have looked this district in the eye and said, this is a district that's making insane decisions. I cannot trust the future of my child's education to it. Talk to us about Kennard.
Yeah, I think it reinforces what we were saying about pre-K. Kindergarten at Kennard.
Well, what is Kennard? Tell us what Kennard is.
Okay, Kennard is the gifted elementary school.
Mm-hmm. It's the school every parent wants. You know, every parent that tripped on the idea of sending their kids to a gifted school, you wanted your baby in Kennard.
That's right. That was the school long held up as the top,
mm-hmm.
the elite school.
There you go.
In St. Louis.
There you go.
There were parents... you know, who could afford private school, who'd
mm-hmm.
say, well, we'll try and get into Kennard.
Mm-hmm.
And if they couldn't get into Kennard, well, they'd send their kid to private school. Because
mm-hmm.
they wouldn't send them anywhere else
exactly.
in St. Louis public schools. But
exactly.
Kennard was always the jewel
there you go.
That parents wanted to send to. They could not fill their kindergarten this year.
They had no waiting list. They had no wait. There was no waiting list at Kennard. And not only was there no waiting list, they didn't even fill the seats that they had available.
They didn't fill the seats they had available. That's
and
right.
mind you, in a atmosphere of serious overcrowding in middle school, serious overcrowding in elementary schools, serious overcrowding because of the closure of all of these schools and squeezing our babies into these overcrowded schools, Kennard didn't have an overcrowding problem at all because people didn't want to send their babies there.
Right, right. You know, they have a waiting list for higher grades, you know, fourth, fifth grade. Right? But kindergarten, again, when people are making the decision to start their kids in a school system,
mm-hmm.
they couldn't fill it. This is supposed to be the crown jewel of St. Louis Public Schools.
And this was, if all of the measurements that you use to evaluate a school, in the minds of most people, this was the crown jewel for
right.
the start of your baby's educational experience. Kennard was the place that you wanted
right.
your child to go to.
That's right.
And they didn't even have a waiting list, and they didn't even fill the seats in Kennard.
You know, and I think these are various, very serious signs, omens of what is to come in St. Louis Public Schools in the coming years, unless, you know, some serious... rethinking and turning around is done in the district.
And we have to go back to make this clear to folks. While sometimes countries, when countries go to war, war's not won by, most wars are not won by a bomb like Hiroshima. Most wars are won with incremental battles. The war against the incompetence in the St. Louis public schools, we didn't have a Hiroshima bomb, but it appears that people are waging war in all kinds of ways, and it wasn't won on the first year, but it looks like 5 years from now, 5 years post Roberti, there's really going to be a shell of the St. Louis Public Schools if the decisions are continued to be made by people like Shamel and Slay and those types of people.
Yes.
Because they're the ones that are making the decisions to stop three-year-olds from coming to preschool. They're the people that are making the decision not to have testers to let people's children get into the magnet schools. They're the ones that are making decisions. And let's talk about some of the decisions that they're making. They made the decision to hire a $300,000 guy, Craig Williams, who has no superintendent certification from any state in the union, and we don't even know that he has one for our district. And they're making these insane decisions that are causing parents to walk and take their kids out of this district. You put out in your newsletter a checklist to try to feel the pulse, to get the specifics, and to hear from actual parents or teachers or students in the district about what is the state of every school out there. Talk
right
to us about what are you asking them. Go down the list of this and tell people what it is that you ask people for, and then share with us some of the things that you got from people.
Okay, called the basics, and we're really looking at exactly the basics, what you need to have a good school.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at the physical state of the building, in the building.
You're asking people to evaluate the basics in their school.
Exactly. So are there are there defective floors or ceilings or walls?
Mm-hmm.
Are there water leaks, heating problems, ventilation problems? Plumbing problems.
Mm-hmm.
Are there broken toilets, broken water fountains, or do they work? Peeling paint. Do you have the facilities needed? Is there a dedicated lunchroom, a dedicated gym, a dedicated auditorium? Does it get clean?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a library with computer access? Is there a playground for elementary school, an athletic field, middle school, or high school? So just basic physical facilities things.
Mm-hmm.
Classrooms, asking about how many kids in the classroom. Is it a reasonable size? 20 students, kindergarten, third grade, 25 students or less in above grades? Or are they overcrowded? Do you have qualified teachers in the classrooms? Do you have the ancillary teacher, the music teacher, the art teacher, physical education teacher, certified librarian? Do you have a reading teacher, speech therapist, nurse, social worker? Things like that, questions about what the cafeteria serves, nutritional meals. Is there a parent-teacher organization so that parents can be involved? Do you have textbooks? Do you have the math games and supplies? Do you have science supplies for science classes? Copying machines to copy worksheets or games or instructional materials for kids? Computers, field trips. Do children get the required amount of physical education every week? Are there extended day programs? Then there are questions about discipline, where there is a discipline policy. Is it spelled out to students? Is it enforced? Are there progressive levels of consequences? Those are the kind of things we ask on the questionnaire. And I've brought in a few of the responses here to look at. And here's one.
Start with the one about the curriculum.
Okay,
because that's the one I think that when we get down to, it wasn't, if I can just digress just for one second here, it wasn't just that Roberti closed these 17 schools without parent participation or community participation. It wasn't just that they hired Sodexo and got rid of people that really cared about whether or not our schools were clean and were trained to do that and weren't interested in ripping the district off. It wasn't just that they got rid of the stationary engineers. It wasn't just that they closed down the food service system that was making the district $1 million a year. It's the combination of all of these decisions that have led people over the course of these 2 years to vote with their feet and to flee this district. So it's an ongoing series of bad decisions that are forcing parents and students out of this district. And one of the latest is, okay, the $300,000 a year CREG Craig Williams decision for a curriculum change. How's that working?
Yeah, they introduced a whole new curriculum across all grades
mm-hmm.
in St. Louis Public Schools. And so here we have some comments about the middle school. This is between various consultants they hired. They spent well over $1 million developing this curriculum. I'll just read some of these comments.
Okay.
Again, say this is from a middle school,
sixth
grade.
Actually, hold off on that because we have to take a break. It's time to take a break. Let's come back to some of these comments about this new experimental, Tuskegee experiment on the St. Louis Public Schools. This is Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs, St. Louis Public Schools Watch. We're going to take a break. Stay with us.
None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they heal our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. Southbound 270 at Olive, there's an accident partially blocking the right lane. There are no delays at this hour. Eastbound 44 at Antire, there's an accident there. Left lane is blocked. Northbound 55 between Green Park and Gasconade, no problems to report. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Mason, look for traffic to be slowly building there. Eastbound 70 between 370 and the Blanchett Bridge, everything's running smoothly. Northbound 270 between 55 and 44, stop and go. Westbound 270 at 367, look for heavy traffic. Westbound 255 from Coke to Lima Ferry, look for no problems there. Eastbound 70 between Bryan Road and Mid Rivers Mall, it is slow. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for heavy volume. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue, all in the 5570 split, it is slow. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB is slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at the Missouri Bank is a disabled vehicle reportedly in the left lane. Traffic backs up to the gravel pit. Westbound 5570 at Illinois 203 and PSB, look for stop-and-go traffic after a couple of earlier minor accidents. And Route 30 at east of Dittmer, there's a report of an accident as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight ground or even the heavy stuff, you can always rely on the ultimate in reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Areas of fog this morning, otherwise partly cloudy in the morning. Showers and thunderstorms are likely this afternoon with a high around 80. For this evening, breezy, cooler, showers and thunderstorms likely in the evening, then partly cloudy after midnight with a low in the upper 40s. Thursday, cooler, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 60s. Thursday evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 40s. And Friday, mostly sunny skies with a high in the lower 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 64 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 64 under partly cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call at St. Louis Public Schools Watch with Peter Downs. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes. And after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I had the knowledge and most importantly the discipline to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
It'll be fun. It'll be cool. It'll be Sports Talk with Kevin Paulus, as close as your computer, at WGNU.net.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
This is the sound of an AK-47 being fired at you. This is the sound of a rocket-propelled grenade headed your way. This is the sound of a bullet ricocheting off your helmet. This is the sound of an anti-personnel landmine exploding underneath you. This is the sound of a car bomb exploding less than a block away. And this?
These people don't know why George W. Bush would be held in this
place. That's the sound of people who have never heard these sounds arguing about something they know absolutely nothing about. Maybe we should start listening to the people who were there. Go to optruth.org to find out how you can really help support our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Operation Truth. We were there.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gere, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of Today's Solutions with Dave Lenahan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. This is Liz Brown. I am here with Peter Downs, and we're talking about the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. We're talking about a survey that Peter put out in his newspaper about what every school should have, and then the response to that newsletter. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, I'm going to read these teacher's words because she says it better than I could. Assume it's she. The first several lessons in sixth grade science have us measuring matter using the displaced water method, where you put an object into a graduated cylinder and read the new water level and do the subtraction to determine the volume of the object.
I remember that.
Yes. We have no graduated cylinders.
Huh.
Then we're supposed to use scales to measure the weight of objects. We have no scales.
Jesus.
In social studies, they changed their curriculum to have students studying geography. And yet we have no maps.
Jesus. But Craig Williams has a $300,000 a year salary, and we have no maps and $1 million curriculum.
Yeah, so great new curriculum. It looks good on paper, but they don't have anything to teach it with.
That's kind of symbolic of Craig Williams and the school board. It's all about, and George W. Bush, it's all about PR, you know, and not about substance. Craig Williams will go on television and talk, hold up I killed a high school
a yearbook, you know, but he'll go and say that we have this wonderful new curriculum, but we have none of the tools to use the curriculum with. But we have $300,000 for his salary. Go ahead. What other thing, responses have you heard?
This is from Roosevelt High School, from a teacher there. Talk about just the physical state. And Roosevelt is just an example. They have similar things from other high schools across St. Louis, with the lights going off during the day, just flickering off for a while.
Huh?
They have electric problems, broken toilets in the restrooms. We had, I think you put on your website, pictures from another high school
with
broken toilets.
That's
and this is something I've heard also from Sumner, from Soldan. It's across the district. They just aren't maintaining the plumbing in these old high schools.
And we've spent how many millions of dollars to hire Sodexo?
But they're getting something like $12 million a year.
$12 million a year. Let me get to a couple of callers here. Ken, you have a question or comment?
Yeah, when I attended St. Louis Public Schools, I graduated in June of 1949. They were number one in the whole nation.
Mm. All right. Thanks, Ken. 1940, well before I was here. Jay.
Good morning, Peter.
Yes.
How are you?
Good morning.
Academically, where does this district rank in the state?
Academically, where does it rank?
In the state?
In the state?
Yes, comparatively.
You have to look at the grade level. At the elementary level, it's just below average. It's right there in the middle hump of the district. At middle school and high school level, it falls down. It's in the bottom 10-20%.
I think that's what scares parents away. Any caring parent or any parent would, you know, we're not going to gauge any school district. That's what they have to look at.
Well, and again,
they don't care about the decisions from this board. That's all they can look at. They
well,
don't have
I guess that the way that you measure what decision a parent makes are the concrete, measurable things like how many kids signed up for the top-ranked elementary school in the city area, Kennard. Whether they know Roberti's name or not doesn't matter. What matters is that the school, the teachers, and the reputation of individual schools, because there are lots of parents that sent their kids to St. Louis Public Schools based upon individual schools and not necessarily an individual district's reputation.
Oh, I think that's true. I think most people, when they think about it, they aren't sending their kids to a district.
They're
picking a school.
That's right.
And we have long had a form of school choice in St. Louis. People put in for magnet schools, and if they get in, great. And if they don't, maybe they'll send their kid elsewhere. But they're picking a school.
Do you think that a parent would have said when Metro was number one in the nation, or was it Gateway that was number one in the nation?
Metro
number one in the nation. Do you think that a parent would say, a parent that lived in the city of St. Louis, would say, I'm not going to send my kid to Metro because that district is lousy? No, they're going to, because colleges don't look at your district except from whether or not your district is accredited or not, and whether or not you're going to get credit from that high school or not. They look at the individual school.
Right.
And there are plenty of parents that said, I don't give a doggone if every school in the city of St. Louis was Harvard. I hate the city, and I'm not living in the city, and I'm not going to send my kids to any school in the city. I'm going to go spend $1 billion at John Burroughs because that's where I want my child to go to school. It has nothing to do with what the district has to offer. It's what the parent wants.
Yeah, and I think most people who would say, oh, the district ranks low, and so I don't want to send kids anywhere in the district.
Mm-hmm.
That family doesn't live in the city of St. Louis.
There you go.
They live outside. But what we're looking at
are
families living in St. Louis who are choosing not to send their kids here. Families who 2 years ago were sending their kids.
That's right. That's right.
Because we've had a big drop in the last 2 years.
And we had a big drop in preschool.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had a big drop in free preschool. And I've talked to people in other districts across this region, and it doesn't cost a whole lot of money to go send your kid to Riverview Garden School. You don't even have to lie and fake an address, $500 or something dollars like that, to go to the district for a whole year. Parents are making the decision, I cannot trust that this school, this individual school, is going to be good enough for my child 3 years from now, because I've seen immediate deterioration in 2 years. With my own eyes, I've seen 2 years worth of deterioration. It's not getting better.
Yeah, and one other thing that I think is affecting here, in terms of parents choosing, there are county parents who would send their kids to St. Louis schools for preschool and kindergarten because their districts don't have free preschool because they don't have all-day kindergarten in their districts.
That's right. That's right.
And then, and it's obviously that that's not happening either.
That's right. That's right. So again, and I think that parents that are seeing immediate deterioration back in back-to-back years are parents that are saying, what's going on in the school district? They're parents that may not have been as informed 3 years ago because they didn't see immediate crap happening in front of their eyes. These parents that are making these decisions are making much more informed decisions than they were making 4 years ago. I think the parents that are making the decision to say no now in the St. Louis Public Schools have far more information and far more informed than they were 4 years ago, 3 years ago.
Well, I think this has been far more information out for the last couple of years.
Absolutely. Yes. And when we come back, Peter, I want to get to some more of the comments from folks from your survey that you've been doing on, with through your newsletter. But I also want to talk about a bigger issue, talk about the issue of Matt Blunt and his desire on his new plan for education for the state of Missouri. Stay with us.
Wake-up call, global news update. Dateline, Washington. The Inspector General for the Pentagon has started a fourth investigation into the circumstances surrounding the death of Pat Tillman, the NFL player who gave up his career to serve in the military and was killed in an operation in Afghanistan last year. Internal documents on the case are believed to have had false information. There are serious discrepancies about when Pentagon officials knew his death was caused by friendly fire, and there was never any reason given why the military waited for over a month to notify his family about Tillman's death. There are also some questions about whether witnesses were allowed to change their testimony on some important details. Tillman's mother says there are so many questions that it's hard to know what to be believed. She says the files she received from the military have been heavily censored, with almost every page having blacked out sections with most of the names omitted. She also says there are notations throughout the file saying contradiction, wrong, and question marks. The picture painted of how he died apparently goes something like this. A Humvee in his patrol broke down in a canyon, causing a halt in the mission. The patrol then split up, with Tillman's group staying behind until the Humvee could be loaded onto a flatbed truck. The part of the patrol that departed first came under fire from Taliban fighters on surrounding hills. The second part of the patrol nearly caught up to the first part, heard the radio call for the attack. Tillman, another soldier, and an Afghan militiaman then climbed a hill in an effort to attack the Taliban positions. Some of the soldiers in the first group mistook them for the enemy and opened fire on them. The Afghan was killed. The firing stopped when Tillman sent off a smoke grenade and began waving his arms to identify them as friendlies. When he and the other soldiers stood up, the shooting started again and Tillman was shot 3 times in the head. One of the versions the Army gave was that Tillman was hit by enemy fire after he got out of a vehicle and died a short time later at a field hospital. The official military press release says he was killed when his patrol came under attack. Another American soldier testified at an earlier proceeding that he was ordered to burn Tillman's bullet-riddled body armor because there was no doubt he was killed by friendly fire. His uniform was also burned. Both of those articles would have been crucial pieces of evidence in an investigation. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Educational Talent Search is a free educational information dissemination program for high school students in St. Louis City High Schools. Contact your guidance counselor for information about ETS. Educational Talent Search provides admission application and financial aid application completion assistance, program and school selection, and scholarship searches. Start planning a positive future today.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger with a personal invitation for you to join me from 2 to 4 every Monday through Friday afternoon on WGNU. It is so great to be back in the St. Louis area, and I'm looking forward to talking with you here at Radio Free St. Louis about your personal, work, and family problems and issues. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA, that's 1-800-DR-LAURA, and let's take on the day. Join me, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, 2 to 4, Monday through Friday afternoons on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. 9913. That's 800-376-9913.
Around the world and behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and take it slowly. Ready or not, here I come.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs, and this is the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Peter, let's get to some of the comments in from your newsletter, and then let's talk about the person that's supposed to be the governor, the man-child, Matt Blunt.
All right. Maybe we do just a couple more. One, now this is from Roosevelt, but I've heard it from several schools at every level. Is leaky roofs. Classrooms can't be used because of water coming in through roof leaks. And this is something I actually talked about with the head of Sodexo in St. Louis Public Schools, who admits that the roofs are in terrible condition on St. Louis schools. He says there are schools that you can look up from inside and see the sky.
Sodexo at $12 million a year, right?
Yes.
$12 million a year says, you know what? Golly gee, you're right. There are holes in the roof. Well, what the... we didn't have that before you got here, and now we're $12 million into the hole, and we're seeing holes in our roof.
I think there were probably a lot of roofs that had problems before, but remember, one of the things Roberti did is Roberti cut out in his year here all of the preventive maintenance.
Mm.
All the roofs that would have been fixed in his year, nothing was done.
Mm.
Now they say they're working on a plan, on a 5-year plan to fix the roofs. They fixed 5 last year.
Well, it's good to know that Sodexo is offering scholarships and payoffs to people to like them. It's good to know that Sodexo is buying commercial time all over this city to get people to like them. It would have been nice if they would take some of that doggone money that they've stolen from the district to fix the dang roofs with holes in them.
And it'd be nice if our board would decide it's better to spend the money on fixing roofs than to pass it out to private corporations.
Mm. What else are people saying to you?
Here's one, and this came up at the board meeting. Teachers Union raised an issue over this. The ancillary classes, like art classes, packed full of kids. The district is saying that the usual requirement of, say, 25, 28 kids per teacher that the state has, the district is saying those don't apply to things like art and music.
Mm.
And not only are they packing them full of kids, they're packing them special ed kids in with the regular kids in these classes. It was said at the board meeting.
Without a plan. I mean, we're not talking about, what is that word that they call, that they use to mainline? Is it, how do they?
Mainstream.
Mainstream,
yes.
Kids. It's not like it's a plan. They're just saying special needs kids get in there too. There's no extra teacher. There's not a plan. It's just pack them into.
Yes. They had, I think it was Mary Armstrong, read a quote from someone in the district, said with art classes, said they could put 100 kids in the art class and 40 of them could be special ed.
Jesus. Now, I want to segue to the man-child governor that we have, Matt Blunt. What you just described is happening in our art classes here in the city of St. Louis appears to be part of a plan. Talk to us about what Matt Blunt has said, and then let's talk about what the possible plan is.
All right. Matt Blunt, his two things was, he wants to take over education
right.
directly.
Mm-hmm.
And part of his plan that I've heard, and I have to say, I haven't heard this directly from Matt Blunt. I've never met the man and talked to him personally. But some of the colleges around town, which offer teaching certificates, have plans to stop offering certificates for gifted education because, and the word is that Matt Blunt wants to drop gifted education across the state in 2007.
For teachers, when talking about certification, we're talking about teachers in public schools.
Yes, teachers in public schools, they need to be certified in gifted education to teach gifted classes. Gifted education is required by the state right now in public schools across the state, and the state actually pays for it. They pay something like 75% of the cost.
Now, why would somebody, even someone as young and as inexperienced as Matt Blunt, why would they be opposed to, why would they want to eliminate gifted certifications in colleges?
Matt Blunt apparently says it's not equitable to have gifted education.
Okay.
So in order to have more equitable education, he wants to eliminate the programs for the gifted kids.
You know what, Peter? We were talking about this off the air. Really what this appears to be is an effort to force parents into private schools, to trash the public schools. I mean, there are parents that are saying, I'm going to send my kids to public schools because they have gifted programs. I don't have to pay because the schools offer everything, more things than private schools do. But if you trash the public schools, if you offer nothing in the public schools but special needs kids and poor kids, parents are going to be softened to the idea of vouchers. They're going to be softened to the idea of they're going to feel that the only choice that they have are going to private school, is going to a private school.
Yeah, I think that's right. It pushes out the parents of the high-performing kids,
mm-hmm.
if you will. What's left, you say, do special needs or poverty, lower performing, and it isolates the public schools more.
Mm-hmm.
Right away, it reinforced the idea that, oh, these schools don't offer anything.
Mm-hmm. Like the last caller that we had about, I think it's what their rank is in the state is the reason why. No, the contempt that you have for public schools is due to decades worth of negative information and the negative understanding of what a public school in an urban setting is.
Yes.
So if Matt Blunt continues to take out, cherry pick out the things that are good and wonderful about public schools, then parents will feel forced to do the only thing and then pay money to go to private schools.
About which they'll actually have less information.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be able to make less informed decisions because we don't have the kind of wealth of information about private schools that we do about public schools, because private schools don't have to take the same standard
That's
test
right.
to be compared to public schools. They don't have to put their policies online so you can compare them.
That's right.
They don't have to accept every kid. So you see, how are they doing with these kids with problems?
Mm-hmm. And then also, a private school, there's no way to measure how well the kids are doing. There's no way to measure that because you're not comparing them. They're not required to do any kind of comparison at all.
That's right.
So you could be paying all this money to send your kid to a private school, and you don't know what kind of education that they're getting, comparatively speaking.
Right, right.
And simply, and I guess George W. Bush is the best example of that from the perspective of he went to private schools and he got into Yale. Well, you got into Yale not because of your grades. And a lot of the schools have connections with universities that get these kids in because of their affiliations.
Right, right, because their affiliations. And, those that have the affiliations, don't sell them cheap.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Oh, okay, Peter, what do we have looking ahead?
Looking ahead, next week is the first week in October. We have on Tuesday, which Hold on, let me get my date straight here. Anyways, the first Tuesday in October.
Okay, the first Tuesday in October.
First Tuesday in October is the Administrative Meeting School Board at 7, down at 801 North 11th.
Very good. And do we know whether Craig Williams has his certification to be a superintendent yet?
Well, I don't.
Okay. I don't think that anybody else knows either. So yet another week. We'll be asking that same question next week as well. This is Liz Brown with Peter Downs, St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Peter Downs, thank you so much.
Thank you, Liz.
All right. We'll be back after the news. Stay with us.
News for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, brother.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. 4 days after Hurricane Rita blasted the Texas and Louisiana Gulf coasts, many communities, large and small, are still waiting for basic services to be restored. ABC's David Muir tells us what it's like in Port Arthur, Texas.
The mayor of Port Arthur is asking, where is the help? The city has no power, no water, and no fuel. And the generators that have arrived sit in a parking lot.
Schools are supposed to reopen this morning in Iberia Parish, Louisiana, where just one day ago, the National Guard was still conducting search and rescue operations. Elementary school teacher Lorna Abair feels the hurricane victims need more time to pull themselves together.
I would mainly like for those people that have been devastated and lost everything to be given the time to reclaim their lives before they go back to work.
The governors of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama are in Capitol Hill this morning to tell Congress what was right and so very wrong about the federal response to Hurricane Katrina. One day after he visited the hurricane region, President Bush is turning his attention to the war on terror. Here's ABC's Ann Compton.
His top generals give President Bush an early morning briefing on the ground conditions in Iraq, and then for the second time in a week, the president makes formal public remarks on the status of the war on terrorism.
Those remarks are expected in a little more than an hour. The California State Medical Board has opened an investigation into two Los Angeles doctors who arranged a liver transplant for a Saudi patient who is 52nd on the waiting list. Gus Valdespino is with St. Vincent Medical Center.
The issue of money is one that has not come up as far as an answer to what is the motivation for the physicians to conduct this activity.
Liver transplant at St. Vincent are suspended indefinitely. This is ABC News.
When Joyce bought the newly designed Maytag Neptune, the largest capacity front load washer, her friend Nancy noticed right away.
It used to be hard to find time to catch up with Joyce. Now she calls me every day. She never forgets to pop by on her morning jog. Yesterday, she knocked at 5 a.m. Joyce is even happy to help me with chores. She walks my dog, Skipper, every night. Part of me thinks he likes her more than me, but that would be silly. Come here, Skipper. Skipper.
The less laundry you have to do, the more living you can do. Thanks to the Maytag Neptune high-efficiency washer, which has the largest front-load capacity available, you can do more loads in less time. It even fits a king-size comforter and is energy efficient, which saves money. There's less laundry, more life with Maytag. Depend on us. Now get a $100 gift card when you buy a Maytag Neptune washer and dryer. Offer ends 10/16/05. See Maytag.com for details.
Could a bottle of eye drops really be worth $1 million? Apparently Uncle Sam thought so, ABC Chuck Sieverton reports.
The DeFever Osborne Drugstore in Independence, Kansas, initially put in for an incorrect reimbursement to Medicaid, but quickly corrected it for a bottle of $12 prescription eye drops. The pharmacy got a check from the state for $1,012,000. The pharmacist says when he reported the mistake, Medicaid refused to correct it. A Kansas TV station says Medicaid currently has no procedure to cancel the check, but told the pharmacy to deposit it and future reimbursements will be drawn from those funds. State lawmakers interested in reforming the low-income insurance program say they find the incident troubling. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
The Senate votes tomorrow and is virtually certain to confirm John Roberts' nomination as Chief Justice. President Bush is said to be narrowing down his list of candidates to succeed retiring Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. I'm Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Wednesday, police are investigating Hurricane Katrina-related thefts at two South County gas stations. Shortly before midnight on Sunday, a man stole a Red Cross Hurricane Katrina donation canister at a Citgo in the 4400 block of Lime Ferry. He fled in a pickup truck driven by another person. Earlier, another Red Cross canister was stolen from a gas station in the 4000 block of Telegraph Road. The incident happened just before 9:30 in the evening when investigators say a man approached the gas station counter twice before taking the canister and fleeing. Even after 19 weeks of being on strike, Lord Distributing Beer Delivery drivers say they'll continue to strike until their demands are met. Members of Teamsters Local 600 say they remain firm on their demands and continue their call for everyone in St. Louis to boycott Anheuser-Busch products until their contract dispute is resolved. Teamster President Jim Hoffa says the strike will continue for as long as it takes for the drivers to get a fair contract. Dozens of local organizations are getting a financial boost from the local chapter of the United Way. Francella Jackson, a member of the Community Investment Committee, explains that money awarded in the form of grants will help enhance youth, senior, and housing efforts in the greater St. Louis area.
More than $160,000 was awarded to 49 nonprofit agencies and organizations, and these grants were used to enhance areas of youth development, elderly care, housing, and help for individuals in economically depressed areas throughout the St. Louis region.
The grants rang from $1,000 to $10,000. Among the groups who received the grants include the Jackie Joyner Kersey Foundation and St. Vincent's Home for Children. Finally this hour, the Blues are 2-2 on the preseason after losing to the Stars 3-1 last night at Savas Center. Newcomer Eric Brewer scored his first goal as a member of the Note, lighting the lamp on a power play in the second period. The Blues were just 1-8 on the night with the man advantage, while the Stars netted all three of their goals on the power play in 10 attempts. The two teams meet again tonight in Dallas. The puck drops at 7:30. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight, ground, even the heavy stuff, you can always rely on the ultimate in reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed till the end of the month due to maintenance work. Westbound 40 at Boone Bridge, there's construction there. Right lane is closed. Traffic backs up all the way to Chesterfield Airport. Northbound 55 between Union and Arsenal, no problems reported. Eastbound 40 between slows after Clarkson all the way to Mason Road. Eastbound 70 from Cave Springs to the Blanchette Bridge, everything is running smoothly. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry to 44, you've got stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 270 from Bell Fountain all the way to West Florissant. Look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 between 270 and Hanley, you've got stop-and-go traffic as well. Westbound 40 between Hampton and Hanley, look for stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 44 between Merrimack River Bridge and 270, look for that traffic to be slow in the right lane. Westbound 64 from 25th all the way onto the 5570 merge, look for stop-and-go traffic as well. Route 3 northbound from 8th Street onto the PSB is slow. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split all the way to Laclede's Landing is slow as well. And westbound 5570 between Illinois 203 onto the Poplar Street Bridge is stop-and-go. And there's a report at Del Mar and Old Bonham of an accident involving a pedestrian. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Get DVD movie rentals at McDonald's for just $1 per night. Choose from 35 to 40 of the most recent movie titles. Just look for the red box kiosk at participating McDonald's. I'm loving it. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Areas of fog until late this morning. Otherwise, partly cloudy this morning. Showers and thunderstorms are likely this afternoon with a high around 80 this evening. Breezy, cooler. Showers are likely in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy after midnight with a low in the upper 40s. For Thursday, cooler, mostly sunny. High in the upper 60s. Thursday evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 40s. And on Friday, mostly sunny skies, the high in the lower 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 65 degrees under sunny skies. Lambert Field is reporting 64 in partly cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call is up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this come? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this come?
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow that the blow made.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemy, the man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll-free long-distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I'm a member of the Citizens Coalition to Fight Eminent Domain Abuse, and I'd like to make an announcement concerning the rally and court date. For those who are interested in participating in the rally, it will be October 6th, 5 o'clock p.m. at 1411 through 25 North Grand. The phone number is 289-9830. On October 7th, there's a court hearing in Division 7 at 9 o'clock a.m., and it's on the 6th floor. And also, Liz, we meet every Thursday at the daycare at 2953 Martin Luther King. And that number is 535-3425. Anyone has any questions, please give us a call at 535-3425.
Very good. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Is this, I don't want to just make fun of this or give out the energy of this is a worthless cause, because it is a worthless cause. But I wonder if it needs to be. I mean, it's a cause that has value. But I wonder if it should be categorized under the barn door, closing the barn door after the fox is in the fox is in the chicken coop. The fox is already in the hen house, as it were. Henry Waxman and Nancy Pesolosi introduced the following bill yesterday: the Anti-Cronyism and Public Safety Act. You know, is this kind of like a fox already in the chicken coop legislation? It would prohibit the president from appointing unqualified individuals to critical public safety positions in the government. Bush, according to Waxman and Pesolosi and anybody that has eyes and ears, President Bush has handed out some of the country's most difficult, important jobs, leadership positions in public safety and emergency responses, to politically well-connected individuals with no experience or qualifications. This common-sense legislation will end this practice and ensure that public safety is back in the hands of those who are trained and experienced in protecting the public. The bill would require any presidential appointee for public safety position to have proven relevant credentials for that position. In addition, the legislation bars from appointment to an agency any individual who has been a lobbyist for an industry subject to the agency's authority during the preceding 2 years. As Hurricane Katrina tragically demonstrated, serious consequences result when unqualified cronies are appointed to federal public safety positions, Pesolosi said. The Bush administration's culture of cronyism comes at the expense of public safety. It is unconscionable, and it must stop immediately. It is literally a matter of life and death. This legislation is critically needed, and I thank Mr. Waxman for his strong leadership in protecting the American people. Again, fox is already in the hen house. My understanding that Brownie has gotten a contract from FEMA after his resignation from FEMA. Apparently, FEMA has hired him as a consultant to assess what went wrong with Katrina. So you hired back the problem for Katrina to find out what the problem for Katrina during Katrina was. You hired back the biggest problem that our efforts to deal with Katrina. You hired that back. I mean, I'm just trying to get this straight. This administration looks in your face and spits in it. There's no question about it. It has the unmitigated gall. This is akin to Bill Clinton renewing the internship for Monica Lewinsky. That's what this is akin to. That is what this is exactly like. If Bill Clinton would say to the American people, after everything that he went through of his own accord with the Monica Lewinsky, or, you know what, here's my new round of interns. And you know what? I'm not even going to call her an intern. I'm going to call her a consultant to the interns on how to be an effective intern. I'm hiring Monica Lewinsky to head up the interns for the White House. That's what the hiring of Brownie is by FEMA. And this administration looks in your face and says, I don't care what you think. I don't care how wrong it is. I don't care how absolutely inexcusable, foul, dirty, low-down, dumb thing it is. If I want to pay my buddies using your money, I am going to do it. How in the history, now let me just say this, I defy anybody to correctify me on this. I defy anybody to provide the evidence that I am wrong. I believe in the history of employment in the United States of America from 1776 until 2006, I believe in the history of hiring people. Nobody has been hired back to assess the job that they screwed up in the history of employment in the United States of America, 1776 to 2006, that a government has hired back a person that resigned because of incompetence. Hired back the incompetent person to assess what was incompetent about what he did. You know, they used to say, only in America? No, baby. Let me correctify you. It's only in George Bush's America does stuff like this happen. Stuff like this happen. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. My number here is 454-0400. Ain't that some mess? My email is revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Liz, is this you? Are you talking to me?
That's right.
Hey, Liz, let me tell you, you're on it this morning. You're exactly right. Everything you said is correct.
I'm on it every morning.
I know you are. Listen, but I can't listen to you every morning because we're busy working.
All right.
But I'm calling you to tell you that everything that you're saying is right, and this is why we need a millions more movement.
That's what I'm talking about.
We need a millions more movement, which means that millions of us will be involved in making sure that we don't have any more crooks hiring their cronies.
Isn't that something?
To handle our business.
Isn't that something? Isn't that, it is just, it's foul beyond the capabilities of the English language. You can't, there aren't enough words to describe the foulnessness of this.
They're feeding at the public trough. They're eating our money, and all they're doing is taking care of their friends and their cronies, and it's wicked. It's hideous.
I'm telling you, we need a new word. We need a new word.
Besides George movement, we got to get involved.
There you go.
October 14th to 16th, 2005, Washington, D.C. We got to be there.
Be there.
We're going to have, this is Brother Ibrahim Muhammad from Muhammad Islamic Academy.
Mm-hmm, tell it.
We're going to have a Midwest Talent Showcase at our building, 3625 North Garrison, right on the corner, Garrison and Natural Bridge, this Saturday, October 1st. We're having a Midwest Talent Showcase, which part of the proceeds will be going to the Million More Movement. We have special guests coming from London. Well, actually, they live in Chicago now, but they're originally from London, and it's a group called Too Real. They're out of this world. They're beautiful young ladies who sing and entertain in a righteous way, and also a special guest from Atlanta, Adrian Rivera, and two little beautiful young ladies, the Chosen Ones. These are going to be providing the entertainment. It's a family affair. Some people may want to participate by singing, modeling, reading poetry, rapping, whatever they want to do. They can come out and do that. The program begins at 6:30 and it goes until 11 o'clock, October 1st. You can get tickets by calling 534-2885. The tickets are $12 donation. And, you know, so we're really, really looking for a big turnout. We hope to see you there, Liz. I have your ticket for you. And it's going to be a wonderful event. And the proceeds, again, I remind you, will be going to help offset the cost of the event October 14th, 15th, 16th in Washington, D.C., the Million More Movement.
Thank you so much. Take care of yourself.
Thank you, Liz, for letting me get on.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
You continue to do an outstanding job
of
presenting
you.
Information to our people.
Thank you.
And I listen to you daily. When I get a chance, when I wake up.
All right.
Old and tired. But I've always been taught from a youngster on up that an ounce of prevention is worth more than a pound of cure.
You know what? Can I just interrupt for one second,
certainly,
please? I don't think that worldview, that philosophy is consistent with the overarching philosophy of the United States of capitalism. Because if that were so, we would have irons that lasted a generation. Like when my mom and daddy bought an iron back in 1960 or 50, my dad still has it because it still works. We wouldn't have built-in obsolescence to with products. An ounce of prevention means, just from a capitalistic perspective, I would think that they don't want you to prevent anything because you can't make any money if you prevent something. You can't make any money off cancer if there's a cure. You can't make any money off of medicine, or you can't even make any money off of a drug if it cures somebody. So you understand what I'm saying?
I certainly do.
You feel me on that?
I'm specifically referring to your president.
What are you making my president?
President of the United States.
The guy that's sitting in the White House right now, because I sure didn't vote for him.
Okay, but I was saying, you know, it was stated that it didn't make any difference. They were all the same. But I think there is a distinct difference between the philosophy of the Democrats and the Republicans. Now, I agree with you that the Democrats have not shown any backbone. I agree with that.
Based on their philosophy.
But I didn't hear that.
Based on their philosophy.
Okay. But I can say without any reservation that this man is the worst person that we've ever had in the White House in the history of the country.
But you know what I would add to that? I believe that the actions by the Democrats, I'm talking about Senate Democrats, because you certainly can't include a Representative John Conyers in there, or Maxine Waters,
right,
or Charlie Rangel. You can't include them up in, and there are other congressional people that have had the backbone and the tenacity to stay the course in the worst of times. I would have to add, because George W. Bush couldn't have gotten us into war if Congress didn't say it was all right.
Right.
George W. Bush wouldn't have been able to pass the Patriot Act if Congress hadn't said, you know, I ain't going to read it. I'm just going to trust this crazy man. These things would not have happened but for the inaction, the lack of backbone, the lack of care, concern, and the lack of a sense of responsibility by our United States Congress and the Senate in particular.
You've expressed it most articulately, and I appreciate that. Have a wonderful day.
Bless your heart. Thank you so much for listening. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Folks need to just see the world for what it is, and then lean into it. Marty, you're on the wake up call.
You know what, Liz? It's amazing. Our government has changed to fit this particular president that's in office.
I like that phrase.
And we're using the same form of government that's been going on for years. I mean, that has not kept up with the changes of the people. And it's just manipulating. It's just set up for this man to manipulate this country into whatever direction he feels that we need to go, which has been lunacy. And there's going to be a bunch of people that will call in and still with their blinders on. I mean, big pair of blinders.
You know what, Marty, if I could just interrupt for a second. I think that that's unfair to blinders. Because in blinders, you could at least see in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
These people are blind. Okay, these people are the people that would defend, people that defend the indefensible are intentionally blind.
Right.
Okay, they've lost blinders a long time ago.
And,
they can't
and you know,
see
one other thing, I was thinking, every American that's been fired or lost their job mm-hmm. due to some kind of problems that they have on their job or something,
mm-hmm.
they ought to be able to march in front of the White House and demand their jobs back.
Mm-hmm.
If they could sit up here and hire this man back after what has went on during the time that he was hired, and they still found a way to put him back in there so he can get money.
Did you feel me on the Monica Lewinsky comparison there,
Marty? Oh, yeah.
Did you feel me on that?
I had to grab the phone then, Liz. I'm sorry. I had to grab the phone. And then it really killed me when I knew this guy was going to get fired on. So as he said, he was your president. I said, man, I wouldn't have stepped in that one. But then you said something else interesting. If you look back in the years when cars were being made, cars are built to last.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm a mechanic, too. And I've looked inside cars. I've seen car motors with plastic parts in them. Cars are designed now to last no longer than 3 years, if that. And then you got to sit back and take them back. And then a car costs almost as much as a house.
That's fact. That's fact.
And that's a shame, you know. And the whole country does not look at why crime is going rampant and stuff. They want to sit up here and say it's something else. They don't want to see how the economy is going due to this man being in office. They don't want to see how a lot of things are going or changing because this man is in office. And you think that a man that did something, well, I'm not really, you know, putting him on no big pedestal because of what he did, the last president that we had, and the economy was a heck of a lot better than when this man was in office.
And got a roll. Thanks, Marty.
You're welcome.
We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have much to talk about, much to talk about. Talk to me. I'll be back after this. Stay with me.
As a voice that we both can hear. Before you let it go. Greatest love of all, won't you please talk to me once?
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with you in this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Barnes Jewish Hospital. Eastbound 70 between McKelvey and St. Charles Rock Road is an accident that's cleared to the right shoulder. However, the traffic jams approaching Earth City. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed through the end of the month for maintenance work. Westbound 40 at the Boone Bridge is construction. Right lane is closed there, and there are no delays at this hour. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, which is Broadway. Road maintenance crews have that ramp closed. You can use the 11th Street exit to get around that construction area. Northbound 55 between River de Pere and Lafayette. Look for no problems to report. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road. That traffic is easing. Eastbound 70 at Mid Rivers Mall and Blanchett Bridge. Look for everything to be running smoothly. Northbound 70, 270 between Gravelway and Marshall Road. Look for no problems to report. Or it is stop and go there. Westbound 270 from West Florissant all the way into Washington Elizabeth. Look for slow traffic in the right lane. Westbound 255 from Telegraph to Lee May Ferry. Look for no problems to report there. Eastbound 70 between K and 79. Look for that traffic to be easing. Eastbound 40 between 270 and Hanley is stop and go. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley is stop and go. Eastbound 40 between Bowles and River de Pere. Look for very hot. Merrimack River, excuse me, look for a very heavy volume there. Northbound 270 from Dorset to 70, look for slow traffic in the right exit lanes. Westbound 64 at 25th all the way in the 5570 split, look for stop-and-go traffic. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street to the Poplar Street Bridge, it is slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from 5570 split onto Laclede's Landing, look for stop-and-go. Westbound 5570 from 203 to the PSB, it is stop-and-go as well. Olive at 141, there's a report of an accident and shoots. Eastbound between 270 and Page, or I'm sorry, eastbound Page between 270 and Schutz, traffic is heavier than normal. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Barnes Jewish Hospital. Barnes Jewish Hospital offering second opinions on any heart procedure or lung surgery. Call 314-TOP-DOCS. Are you connected?
Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Areas of fog this morning, partly cloudy through the morning, and then chance of showers this afternoon with a high around 80. This evening, look for breezy, cooler. Showers and thunderstorms are likely, partly cloudy after midnight with a low in the upper 40s. Thursday, mostly cooler and sunny with a high in the upper 60s. And Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the lower 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 66 degrees under sunny skies. Lambert Field is reporting 65. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call up next. And we'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gehr, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of today's Solutions with Dave Lenahan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement.
Saturday, October 15th, 2005, in Washington, D.C.
Louis, you can get involved today.
The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement, call 361-9191 or toll free 866-361-9191 or online at mmmstlouis.org. It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March, the Millions More Movement.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Father, stop criticizing your son. Mother, please leave your daughters alone.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call, 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU, revolution at lizbrown.com. We're broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. All right, got to get that out the way. And forgive me for just taking a second to share with you one of the thoughts that I had. And I'm always thinking about work. It's probably something I need to address on another day and another time. But I was thinking about this as I was reading an article about Dick Cheney and his aneurysm surgery. He had two big O aneurysms pop up behind his knees. And one article I read was that the surgery that he subsequently was subsequently performed on him. One early article described it as optional surgery.
And I giggled out loud when I was reading. I was like, how much of an option is it for a guy that's had 5 heart attacks and do not deal with an aneurysm? What kind of an option would that be? And you have 2 of them behind your knees. Now, what I was also musing on is something else that the article said in passing. It was written in the article in passing. Dick Cheney only stopped smoking after his 4th heart attack. Okay? Now, I just want to say that again because this struck me like a heart attack. Dick Cheney refused to give up smoking until God hit him with the 4th heart attack. Now, what can we glean from the personality of an individual like that? Now, remember, this is a man that has millions of dollars in assets. This is a man that has access to the best hospital facilities on the face of the earth. Anything experimental, anything expensive, you say it, he got access to it. So what does it say about the nature of a man who refused to stop smoking until his 4th heart attack? Let me tell you what it means, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Let me tell you what it means. It means it is reasonable to deduce. It is, you should conclude that a man who refused to give up the wrongdoing of smoking, the harm of smoking, the evilness of smoking until after his 4th heart attack, means that this is a man. Let me ask you the question. If he defended smoking until after his 4th heart attack, how long do you think if he defended the evilness of smoking until after his 4th heart attack, how long do you think he's going to defend the evilness of Halliburton? Oh, he's on it until the end road. He couldn't stop embracing the wrongness of smoking until after his 4th heart attack. When do you think he's going to let go of his lover's grip on Halliburton and their wrongdoing? Not in your lifetime and not in mine. That was just the musings of my mind as I read the article about the aneurysms on Dick Cheney's knees. That's just how I think. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Y'all need to get to me. Stop me from sharing my musings. May, you're on a wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. I know you're on this wicked government, but I would like to go, if you allow me, to some local news. I don't know if you remember or the law listeners remember the Coalition Against Police Crimes and Repression went out to Kinlock about 2 years ago to protest the hiring of Charles Hubbard, Officer Charles Hubbard, who resigned from the St. Louis City Police Department under investigation for improperly firing his weapon. Well, we went out there in Kinlock, Liz, and the mayor, who is Keith Cohen, promised us he would not hire Charles Hubbard on the 4th. Well, Liz, I looked up in the paper, and Charles Hubbard is on the Kinlock Police Force, and his partner and he are under investigation for shooting a young man.
And that young man's family should sue the mayor of the city of Kinlock and take them down.
And Liz, I really wish that if someone in his family is listening, to call you and to get my number, because we need to get on this. Charles Hubbard killed Arthur Dobbins in 2000.
That's right.
Before then, he killed a young man off duty in East St. Louis.
That's right. And this mayor knew.
And he knew.
And he hired him back, and now somebody else's baby has been shot.
Liz, before we went out to Kinlock, during their monthly sessions, they told us that only maybe two citizens out of Kinlock would show up. Liz, when we went out there and stirred up those people that stay in Kinlock, we had all kind of stories about Charles Hubbard, and he was just on probation then. When we went to the council meeting, the room was standing room only.
And they hired him back.
That's how bad they did not want Charles Hubbard on the force. Those people stayed in Kinlock. He had wreaked havoc at months.
As a probationary cop.
As a probation officer. And those people in Kinlock, those citizens in Kinlock, did not want him on the force. And the mayor turned around under our noses and hired him anyway.
The mayor needs to be removed from office. The city needs to be sued as a result of this. And this family needs to get on this, because the fact of the matter is that this mayor knew the history of Hubbard. He hired him back. Bumped his word. He gave his word that he wasn't going to, but he hired him back anyway.
Yes, he did.
He's got to go.
The mayor of Kinlock is Keith Cohen, and his number is 521-3335. We need to get on the phone this morning, tomorrow morning, Friday morning, and bombard him with calls to see why is it he went back on his word and hired
a vigilante murderer.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Renee.
All right. You're welcome, Liz.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Donald.
Let me say this. I'm not familiar with that story, so I can't comment on it. But, yesterday I told you I was going to call you about my brother. You know, he calls in to you on your show a lot of times, named Arnold Drain.
Yes.
And has he called lately?
No, he has not.
Yes, I think so. I don't know if there's anything going on. I don't want to get paranoid and think something's going on, but I said Malcolm Bliss will be on Dalemore, and he had kind of, you know, he didn't give me his phone number when he got it changed, you know. And so I called the police about a month ago and told them to look into that.
All right.
And I want you to look into it too, you know.
Thanks for your call, Donald.
Okay, thank you.
We're going to take a break, folks. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Stay with me.
Para donde vas? Para donde vas? Donde vas? Para donde vas?
Cha-cha.
Para donde vas?
Oye, pe.
Para donde vas?
Dime.
Para donde vas? Donde vas?
Si vas al baile, baila conmigo. Si vas al carnaval, quiero ir contigo. Si vas a donde quieras, no me quedo atrás, porque quiero amarte más y más.
¿Para dónde vas,
muchacha?
¿Para dónde vas?
Oye, mujer, ¿para dónde
vas? This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, Washington. A report in this week's Time magazine says former FEMA head Michael Brown is the most blatant example of how the Bush administration has put top agency officials into jobs just because they had political connections. The Office of Personnel Management lists over 3,000 positions a president can fill without following civil service rules. For instance, at the Office of Management and Budget, an ex-lobbyist who had little experience in purchasing anything was put in charge of $300 billion worth of spending and then got arrested last week. The man in charge of drug safety at the FDA is a former doctor whose last job was picking stocks, but also provided policy advice at that agency and others, and was a fellow at a conservative think tank. And Julie Myers has been picked to head the Immigration and Customs Agency. She had other jobs in the White House, but her uncle is the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Richard Myers. And Dateline San Francisco. American soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan have for the last year been taking pictures of dead bodies and forwarding them to a porn website in order to swap them for pornography. The pictures are of enemy fighters killed by Americans and are very grisly and gruesome. Captions accompany the pictures that were apparently written by the soldiers who did the killing. The man who created the website, Chris Wilson, says it's a look at the war from the soldiers' point of view. He says he set up the website a year ago and asked people to contribute photos of wives and girlfriends. It turned out to be a big hit with soldiers overseas. He decided to offer the soldiers free membership if they would send their most gory pictures to him. The Geneva Convention prohibits publishing and ridiculing images of war dead, and soldiers are representatives of their government. This could turn out to be a nightmare for the Bush administration, which made a big deal out of the media not having access to the returning bodies of American soldiers killed in the war. We're unable to give you the name of the website these pictures are posted at because the name contains a serious obscenity we're not permitted to mention on the air. This is your wake-up call global news update.
All right, the Blues are back.
Yeah, baby.
But we need to make sure you're in game shape before they hit the ice again.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask you some quick questions. I want some quick answers. You ready?
You bet. Let's fire away.
First one. He shoots. He
scores.
Light the
lamp. Too easy, man. Try some harder ones.
Right, baby steps. Baby steps. Right. Try these. Put the blank in the blank.
Biscuit in the basket.
Let's go.
Blues!
Kick save.
And a beauty.
Do you bleed?
Blue. Come on. I thought these were supposed to be harder.
Careful what you wish for, because here comes the lightning round.
Bring it on.
Drop the
puck.
Between the
pipes.
Warm up the
bus.
Teams you hate.
Coyotes, Sharks, Canucks, Oilers.
But the teams you despise.
Red Wings, Avalanche, Blackhawks, and Stars.
And the Flames. Never forget the Flames. Next one. Best moment of your life is?
A tie between the time I won the on-ice tricycle race and the time I suck a chuck at the mall.
You're so ready for the season, my friend.
Get back in blue. Visit stlouisblues.com for special discounts and promotional information. Tickets on sale at the box office, Ticketmaster outlet, stlouisblues.com, or call 314-622-BLUE.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio, Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri, 63108. We ask 2-week lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryant.
You don't know how you met me, you don't know why you can't turn around and say goodbye. All you know is when I'm with you, I make you free and swim through your veins like a fish in the sea. I'm singing, follow me, everything is alright. I'll be the one to tuck you in at night. And if you want to leave, I can guarantee you won't find nobody else like me.
Oh, you won't find no one else like me. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Y'all? Bear with me for another little private musing on public airwaves. Perfect storm a-brewing. There's a perfect storm a-brewing. We've had Cindy Sheehan. Bam, 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 bam. All over this administration. Bringing to light 5-week vacations. More vacation than any sitting president in the history of the free world. We've had Karl Rove, bam, 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 putting the lives of our spies at risk. We had Katrina wafted in, roar in, expose the disconnect and the incompetence, the continuing incompetence of this administration. Bam, bam, bam. We had Brownie to expose the cronyism of this administration. Bam, bam, bam. Now we're having the head of the Senate Majority Leader, Bill Frist, being investigated for clearly insider trading. Bam, bam. And now, I'm reading a report the grand jury, the Texas grand jury investigating Tom DeLay, is completing its term today. Lawyers with knowledge of the case said the DeLay's defense team was concerned that the Travis County grand jury might consider the counts of conspiracy to violate the state election code. If they indict Tom DeLay, that means that Tom DeLay has to step down from his position. House GOP rules require any member of the elected leadership to step down temporarily if indicted. Bam! Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-bam! Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-bam! Do you realize the knockout punches? Or at least the body checks? Or at least the right hook, or the left hook that's been directed towards the insanity and the corruption of this Republican administration. Now, mind you, it has taken a storm of historical proportions. It has taken a war of historical proportions. It has taken a blow to the economy of historical proportions. But the fact of the matter is that they're taking some blows. It feels like a perfect storm. It's a perfect storm a blowing. It's a perfect storm a blowing. You're on the wake up call. Good morning.
Hey, Liz, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Pretty good. I just want to commend you on what a wonderful show you have. And I wake up to you every morning.
Thank you, David.
And you are just very inspiring, and you really tells it like it is.
Well, thank you.
And I want to comment on what you were talking about this morning.
Which one?
People taking money and shutting up about it.
Uh-huh.
You call it quiet money. I call it hush money.
All right. That's what it is. Hush up your mouth. Hush up your mouth money.
Okay. All
right.
You're very inspiring to the people.
Thank you, David. You take care of yourself.
All right, darling.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Hi, Liz. I was wanting to add to some of the comments that Renee made about what was happening out in Kinloch.
Yes.
That shooting that happened out there recently, the Charles Hubbard's partner is named Robert Casilla. He's the one who actually pulled the trigger in this particular case. But the thing about him, I don't know for sure, you know, all his history and his reputation, but to me, anybody would even be riding with Charles Hubbard and not, you know, protest that is very suspicious in my mind. And furthermore, he was involved in a shooting. This Robert Casilla was involved in a shooting out in Pine Lawn before he moved to Kinloch.
Mm.
The victim out there was named Kyle Dismukes.
Mm.
And I don't know if you remember that one, but the officer claimed that he reached his arm into the car, and the kid grabbed his arm and drove off and was dragging him.
Yes.
And but it was a suspicious shooting out there.
And they let him go. Apparently he didn't get to keep that job out there.
No. My understanding is that he left out there under something of a cloud, though, you know, nothing ever came in terms of an indictment or anything in that particular case. But you just have to wonder, with this being his second suspicious shooting and him riding with Charles Hubbard out there in Kinloch, just what's going on.
And also the lie from the mayor that he wasn't going to hire Hubbard back.
Right. That was very clear that Hubbard was gone and that the community did not want him out there. And it's just shocking.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I did want to correct Renee on one thing. The mayor's name is Conway. It's Keith Conway.
Okay.
But people ought to call out there. And this is a sad commentary on the situation we have, but I think it's probably accurate that St. Louis County is investigating this latest shooting. And the thing about it is, you know, you can't count on St. Louis County to do a fair and balanced investigation by any means. But in this particular case, you got to wonder what's going to happen, because the county is trying to put the kibosh on the Kinloch Police Department anyway.
So they're going to use this as an example.
They may well.
All right.
So I'm not saying that makes the investigation fair and balanced. It's just a wrinkle people ought to be aware of, that the county's out to get Kinloch anyway, because there's a development going in there where they got some land from the airport.
There you go.
And it's going to be developed out there. And the county police already have control over the
Kinloch area. Shame on Keith Conway. Shame on him.
For giving them any opportunity.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
Thanks for your call,
okay,
John.
Okay, take care.
454-0400 is my phone number. Caller.
Is I on air?
Yes, you're quickly, please.
Yes, I'm just disturbed with people giving Sergeant Bush the wrong type of incompetence. Because the incompetence that Bush displayed was his disconnect with black people in the way that he underestimated black people, because martial law was the only plan that was being talked about since day one. When the federal government did came that it had their rifles drawn, they thought it was going to be more chaotic, more violence, more rage than what actually happened.
Well, they had to lie about the actual, because the medical examiner is saying there's no evidence of anybody being raped. We are not seeing these bullet-riddled bodies that they reported about chaos going on with Katrina. The medical examiner from New Orleans is saying that he hasn't been able to verify any of those kinds of crazy charges that were being made. So even the chaos, they manufactured.
That's exactly what I'm saying. The black people didn't behave the way he perceived that they were.
Thanks for your call. And we're going to let that be the last word for this hour. I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. The governors of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama, states that were shattered by Hurricane Katrina, testify before the Senate Finance Committee this morning. On the House side, government auditors will be questioned about millions of dollars in contracts the Bush administration awarded for Hurricane Katrina relief. President Bush has authorized more spending for the newest hurricane victims.
The president's now announced that the families displaced by Hurricane Rita, both in Texas and in Louisiana, are going to be eligible for $2,000 checks, just as families displaced by Hurricane Katrina were given just a few weeks back.
ABC's David Muir in Houston. The welcome back mat might be put out today to more sections of New Orleans. ABC's Aaron Kuchersky is there.
The mayor here is poised to make an announcement today about the reopening of some businesses. He says the repopulation has gone well, so well, he says, that more business owners may soon be allowed back into the city. There are concerns, though, about the influx and whether the city's fragile infrastructure can handle all the returning evacuees.
President Bush, who toured the storm zone again yesterday, is getting a war briefing this morning. The president is expected to speak in about 20 minutes about the war in Iraq and the war on terrorism. Liver transplants are indefinitely suspended at St. Vincent Medical Center in Los Angeles after a Saudi patient was bumped up from 52nd to first place on the waiting list. More from ABC's Heather Nauert.
The hospital denies that there was any sort of financial motivation, but they admit that the $339,000 tab was paid by the Embassy of Saudi Arabia. The Embassy of Saudi Arabia paid 25 to 30% more for the medical procedure than an American might have paid.
The California Medical Board is investigating. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 39 points, NASDAQ up by 6. This is ABC News.
Can you believe these gas prices? They are really going to keep us indoors this fall.
Well, I'm tired of looking at these plain walls. They need a fresh coat of paint.
Okay, I'll go to the warehouse store and pick some up.
Oh, no. Remember what happened last time? Let's go to Ace Hardware instead. They have excellent advice, and their high-quality Ace Royal paint comes in thousands of colors.
And look at this Ace Circular promoting the Harvest of Colors paint sale in October. It says we can get $10 back by mail-in rebate for every 2 gallons of Ace Royal paint we buy, and there's no limit.
With no limit, we can paint the entire house.
Available at participating Ace Hardware stores through October 31st.
Oh, that morning alarm hurts even more with arthritis pain. I gotta take something. But these days, where do you turn for relief of minor arthritis pain? Well, my doctor recommended Advil. Even after 20 years, no over-the-counter pain reliever has been proven stronger or to last longer on tough pain than Advil. Not Tylenol, not Aleve. And it's gentle on your stomach. That alarm is less alarming with Advil. Advil. Fast, strong, trusted.
Use as directed. For occasional pain only. Do not exceed 10 days. Talk to your doctor if pain persists.
There are big consumer complaints about the latest small personal music player. Here's ABC's Jim Hickey.
It made the scene with a hip tune and great fanfare less than a month ago. Apple's new super thin, super cool iPod Nano music player. But soon, a big problem. The case scratches, as one customer put it, if you look at it the wrong way. Worse, defective screens on the device crack easily, rendering the Nano virtually unusable. Apple calls it a vendor quality problem, affecting less than 0.1% of the little machines, but promises to replace Nanos that have faulty screens. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
About three more months until Christmas, but the latest Neiman Marcus holiday catalog is out. Lots of ideas. His and hers photo booths, if you like that, for $20,000. A private concert by Sir Elton John, $1.5 million. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Wednesday, some Sunset Hills residents are fuming about the cancellation of last night's city aldermanic meeting. Will Ashinger, a commercial property owner in the Sunset Manor neighborhood, says it's time to get rid of the development cloud over his neighborhood.
This is an opportunity for all the homeowners in that area to say, no, we're not going to take any more delays. We're not going to be further manipulated by the city. We're not going to be further manipulated by the developer. We're going to say no to this project, and we're going to rebuild the community, rebuild the neighborhood, so that people can fix up their homes and sell them if they want, or they can stay there if they want to. Everybody can still pursue their life plan with their property.
The aldermen were expected to consider a change in the owner of the $165.2 million development to be built in Sunset Hills. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reports that the meeting was canceled when Novus Development Company didn't secure a new project owner by 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon. Novus didn't have enough funding to close on more than 200 Sunset Manor homes in August and promised to do so by this Friday. But according to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Novus technically has until February 25th to buy the homes. Despite requests from President Bush, Illinois Senator Barack Obama, and others, a Metro East refinery is going ahead with a partial shutting down for scheduled maintenance. ConocoPhillips says the 45-day outage at the Wood River Refinery in Roxana begins tomorrow, cutting the refinery's gasoline production by approximately 20%. Elected officials previously expressed concern that a decrease in fuel supply could cause a spike in gas pump prices and home heating bills. A refinery spokeswoman says the outage won't affect diesel or jet fuel production. Savage Center officials are looking into what caused a light fixture to fall from the ceiling during last night's Blues game. The fixture fell into the stands in an unoccupied area. Nobody was injured in the incident. Finally this hour, the Rams return to the practice field today to begin preparing for Sunday's game in the Meadowlands against the New York Giants. The Rams' run defense ranks third in the NFL after three games, but they will be tested by a New York offense that leads the NFL in scoring and over 30 points per game. The Rams will also face a stiff challenge on special teams, as the Giants have the league's number one kick returner and Southeast Missouri State product, Willie Ponder. While the Giants are strong on offense and special teams, their defense is ranked second worst in the NFL. Both teams are 2-1 heading into Sunday's noon kickoff. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Ashley Furniture Home Stores. The Ashley Furniture Home Store means big savings for you, like no interest and no payments for 1 year. Ashley Furniture Home Store in Kirkwood and South County. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 8 minutes after the hour, 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by National City Bank. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed through the end of the month due to maintenance work. Westbound 40 to Boone Bridge, there's construction. Right lane is closed. There are no delays at this hour.
Westbound 70 at Lindbergh. Look for paving operations having the right lane closed in both directions. 70 between Bermuda and Goodfellow. The road construction right lane is closed. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit. Broadway, that is closed on the ramp. The alternate is to use the 11th Street exit. Northbound 55 between Virginia and the Poplar Street Bridge. No problems to report. Eastbound 70 from Mid Rivers Mall all the way into 270. Look for everything to be on the move. Westbound 270 from Riverview to New Florissant Road. Look for no problems there. Eastbound 40 between Ballast and Hanley is stop and go. Eastbound 40 between Big Ben and Hanley. Look for stop and go traffic as well. Westbound 70 between 94. Look for road construction. Right lane is closed. Eastbound 44 between 141 and 270. No problems to report. Northbound 270 at 44. Everything is finally removed back to normal there. Westbound 5570 split onto the PSB. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank onto Laclede's Landing looks good. And also a few construction notes here in both directions. Tesson Ferry between Butler Hill and Merrimack. There's paving operations and between Old 21 at Old 21, which is Shady Valley Road. There's also a report of construction having lane closures. And in both directions, 255 at Camp Jackson, you have road construction. And westbound 70 at Kings Highway and Union. Look for road construction having one lane closed. That's a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by National City Bank. National City Bank makes managing your finances easy by giving you free checking with unlimited transactions, extensive retirement planning, and more. National City Banking made simple for lives that are not. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Areas of fog this until late morning, then partly cloudy throughout the morning with showers and thunderstorms likely this afternoon, a high around 80 this evening. Breezy, cooler showers are likely the evening, then partly cloudy after midnight with a low in the upper 40s. For Thursday, cooler, mostly sunny, high in the upper 60s. Thursday evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 40s. And then on Friday, mostly sunny skies with a high in the lower 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 68 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 69 and clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister. It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you pick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal dignity.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black,
white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways, get up, get to me. Much to talk about. In the last few hours, the last 3 hours actually, we have been talking about the issues that are confronting this country. Disturbing stories, disturbing reports coming out of Iraq about Pat Tillman, who was killed in an operation in Afghanistan last year. Killed in an operation, turns out that there were bullet shots to his head, killed in an operation that wasn't a result of enemy fire, but the extraordinarily phrased, the inexplicably phrased friendly fire is what killed him dead. And a cover-up by our good government. I think lost in our discussion of what is happening in our war efforts, lost in the discussion is what is happening in Afghanistan. Just like there are stories that we're concerned about that may get covered up in the aftermath of Katrina and in the aftermath of Rita, the stories about Senate Majority Leader Frist, the stories about House Majority Leader Tom DeLay, the stories about Major Spin Operator Karl Rove getting lost due to the bright light being shown in the aftermath as a result of the aftermath of Katrina and Rita. I believe oftentimes the story of Iraq outshadows the problems that are occurring in Afghanistan. And in some ways, I believe that if we paid attention to what was happening in Afghanistan, honestly paid attention to what was happening, is happening in Afghanistan, we would have been able to predict what is happening in Iraq. So what we're going to take a moment to shine a light on, to talk about a story that doesn't get a whole lot of publicity, doesn't get a whole lot of attention, because it is constantly overshadowed by the occupation of Iraq and the mismanagement of Iraq. And so let's talk about that. To facilitate that conversation, I have Nazif Shirani. He is a professor of anthropology from Indiana University. He is the author of Afghanistan's Presidential Elections, Spreading Democracy or a Sham. Nazif, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm all right, Ms. Brown. Thank you for asking me to be on your show.
It is my pleasure. I think that the timeliness of this is works very well.
The pleasure is mine, and I think you're absolutely right that Afghanistan has been ignored. We have a war going there. We have more than 20,000 soldiers. And who knows, thousands and thousands of other civilians who are in the country, and many of them are getting killed. In fact, yesterday, There were at least two soldiers killed and one injured, and more going on, and we don't hear about it at all.
And we don't hear about how the aftermath of our initial invasion, our attack on Afghanistan. We don't hear enough about what has happened. I mean, how did that work out for Afghanistan?
Exactly. Well, that's the whole issue, that there were all kinds of promises made on the wake of this invasion. The only thing that has been delivered really has been getting rid of the Taliban from Kabul, where they controlled and they terrorized the entire nation. But they were not destroyed as promised. Their leaders are still out with Al-Qaeda leaders, both Osama bin Laden and Mullah Muhammad Omar. Both of them are still alive and well, and they're lieutenants. And they're probably safely sitting in some place in Pakistan and have been waging war against the people of Afghanistan and also the American soldiers there for the last 4 years. This year has been the most lethal year. This was supposedly our troops were there, and plus 10,000 international forces. They're referred to as ISAF forces. This is principally now NATO forces, really. So there are 30,000 international soldiers there fighting this war. And in addition to that, the Bush administration had promised to build an army of 70,000 men. They are now saying they have trained 30,000, and a police force of 62,500, I'm sorry, and they claim that they have built 50,000. So you have over 100,000 soldiers involved in this war in Afghanistan, and there is no safety or security in sight, and it's getting worse.
So, I mean, like I said before I came to you this morning, there are lessons that we could have used in the Iraqi occupation based upon what we have done in Afghanistan.
Absolutely. These two countries were very much alike, both in terms of their past history of oppression by local government, which was, of course, supported always by international forces of one sort or another.
Including the United States.
Including the United States, indeed. And, of course, they fell apart under invasions and foreign interference. And their structure is quite the same because there are different communities living in these countries that were basically artificially constructed by colonial powers. Different ethnic groups were brought together. And one ethnic group or one tribe, in the case of Iraq, even people from one village were put on top of the power hierarchy and given free hand and, of course, all the weapons of torture.
Tutsis
and they wanted with other people and by discrimination.
And if I could interrupt just for a second,
sure,
kind
please.
Of just exactly like the Tutsis and the Hutu in Africa.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, these things have repeated itself. The main reason, in my judgment, is the particular form of state structure that the colonial European powers imposed on the rest of the world. And this was the nation state, which supposedly in Europe was going to be homogeneous linguistically, culturally, religiously, and so on and so forth. And, of course, they did this for themselves, but it took them 150 years of bloody wars in Europe to carve out Europe in the shape of France and England and Germany and so on and so forth, each of them, of course, for English or for the German or the French. And then what they did was when they went out to the rest of the world, to Africa, to Asia, to Latin America, they carved countries making sure that there was no homogeneity, that they made sure different different religious groups, different linguistic groups, different tribal communities were brought together and cut apart and given to different countries that they created. And then the oppression, the centralized, strong centralized governments that they put in place and empower them by military weapons and money and so forth, and dictatorships that they created, they discriminated against all groups who were not a member of their own clan or their own lineage or their own linguistic group or a sectarian community or whatever. So you have a situation like Hutus and Tutus, Tutsis in East Africa. You have the situation in Iraq now has been aggravated by Shias, Sunnis, Kurds, Arabs and so forth in Afghanistan. It's between the Pashtuns and the Uzbeks and the Tajiks and Baluch and so on and so forth. And the situation basically repeats itself. So one of the causes of terrorism is, in fact, this inappropriate form of governance and dictatorial governments based on strong centralized nation states, based on person and personalities and identities rather than on institutions, on equality, on rule of law as such. And that's what was promised for Afghanistan, I think, by George Bush's administration, that they were going to bring rule of law. What they're doing is, in fact, they're recreating the very situation that brought Afghanistan to this 25 years of disaster, that is the old system of monarchy, except the monarch, although is there now, he's the father of the country, but Mr. Karzai really is being created as a king, who presumably is elected, but we in that part of the world always elect our own dictators for some reason, with the help of foreign powers. Mm. So that's where we are at.
And I think a good place to underscore that, or to at least to illustrate the point that you're making, is a closer examination of the so-called Afghanistan election.
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
Yes. Well, this is the fourth election in 4 years in Afghanistan, and it has cost probably close to $500 million.
Why would it cost $500 million?
$1 billion. This last one, cost $160 million.
How many voters are in Afghanistan?
Well, they were supposedly, they have registered a little over 12 million, and only they are now admitting that only 6 million showed up at the polls. So it's extremely expensive, but this money, for the most part, is really wasted by a bunch of UN employees. UN has been running a shadow government in Afghanistan. U.S. Embassy is another shadow government, and then they created this what seems like Afghan government, but it is, in fact, a government with no power, with no resources, with very little, and a lot of money is being wasted. Last year, in October, there was the presidential election. Karzai was elected. You have to remember, Karzai went there as an interim president.
That's correct.
And there was an emergency lawyer jirga, or a kind of representative group that came together and elected him as a transitional president. Transitional president. And then last year he was elected as the elected president. So this supposedly something temporary in our part of the world is never temporary. Once they are put in place, they're there forever. And that's what the fear is. Last year's election cost $200 million. So this is $360 million. And then the one before that also cost a huge amount of money. And then running that merger for 20-something days in Kabul cost huge amounts of money. All of this really for nothing.
Well, where does the money go? I mean, because if you only have 12 million registered voters,
right,
half of them voted in the last election,
right,
we have almost $1 billion being spent on the working towards $1 billion to be spent on these elections. Where does the money go?
Right.
And where does it...
Thousands of people who are supposedly are running this election. I don't know. The numbers are staggering, that they bought so many vehicles and they bought so many satellite phones and they spend in this, that, the other. I mean, this is the money where it could have been spent. We have ended up exactly with the same person. So why not just leave the guy run the darn country and spend the money on education?
Well, because
on roads, on something else. But then they couldn't claim they have democracy.
Well, that's the argument. The argument is that this is how we do it. This is what America does. We come into a country and we plant the seeds of democracy, and we nurture those seeds, and those seeds turn into plants, and we raise a democracy in a country like this. That's not what is happening here at all.
Unfortunately not.
And one of the things,
the expectations from the U.S. coming to Afghanistan, getting rid of Taliban, on the part of Afghan people was extremely high.
Well, let's
people of Afghanistan have been lied to repeatedly by monarchy, later by the communist regime and the Soviets who lied to them, and later Mujahideen, the resistance fighters who fought and people supported them when they came to power. They lied to their own people that they were going to create a just government. Instead, they destroyed much of the country. And they were lied to by Taliban, who were supposedly where Pakistan came in, and they were going to bring peace and tranquility, and instead they terrorized and turned the country into a terrorist base for Al-Qaeda, for international operations, and now they were hoping that Americans would not be lying to them, and they, in fact, would bring them some peace and security and lay the foundation for a democratic government, for community self-governance particularly. And none of this has happened, so that people are once again lied to by Americans, and I think they're fed up. Part of the reason why people didn't go to these polls is because last year they apparently went at the rate of more than 70% showing up at the polls for Karzai. And Karzai during the last year delivered nothing, absolutely nothing. So they're disheartened, disillusioned, and this time they simply didn't bother to go to the polls because they know that it's not going to do any good.
Professor, if I can just interrupt just for a second here, because a couple of things I want to back up on. When we talk about elections, we can talk about it from the perspective of the diminishing numbers of Afghanistan voters that have come out in the past three election cycles. But we also need to talk about the idea of corruption during the last election.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about 12 million registered voters, each voter casting a single ballot, and the number of ballots that the government printed up.
Well, this year, yes, in this election, yes, they in fact have only a little over 12 million registered voters, and they have printed 40 million ballots.
What? And everybody only needs a single ballot.
Exactly.
Why do we need 40 million ballots for 12 million voters where they only use one
ballot? Well, it's obviously waste. There's a lot of money wasted in printing these things, and nobody has ever heard a logic for doing so.
What about
corruption? Some of the candidates raise these questions, the ones who probably will not be elected, and that their suspicion is that they're going to be used by government to stuff certain candidates' boxes and come up with a rubber stamp parliament. This is what these countries have always had. But Liz, another thing that I need to tell you
We have to take a break, please. Have to take a break here. I am talking to Professor of Anthropology from Indiana University. He's joining us from Bloomington, Indiana, Professor Nazif Shirani. And you've been to Afghanistan many times.
Yes. In fact, I'm headed again in late November.
Very good. We're going to take a quick break. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Stay with us.
Show my face. Procrastination had me down. Took what I had found. Strength, courage, and wisdom. It's been inside of me all along. Strength, courage, and wisdom. Inside of me.
AM 920. WGNU is the home of Radio Free St. Louis. If you're outside the metropolitan area, pick us up at WGNU.net.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
The Missouri Department of Conservation is hosting a free youth upland game bird clinic and hunt. It will take place on Friday, September 30th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the August A. Bush Conservation Area, 2360 Highway D in St. Charles. Firearms and refreshments will be provided for those who need them. Dress appropriately for the weather and walking in the field, please wear an orange hunter's vest or jacket. To find out more, call 636-441-4554. News to Hunters from Radio Free St. Louis.
At 29, I'm probably a little young to fit your image of a veteran in a wheelchair. But the war in Iraq, like all wars, is taking its toll on our young men and women in uniform. I became paralyzed when the vehicle I was riding in turned over.
Jason came home to an intensive care unit, and we faced a bureaucratic nightmare just to get the services he needed. Thank goodness Paralyzed Veterans of America was there. They said, "You focus on your rehabilitation, and we'll take care of the rest."
Since 1946, Paralyzed Veterans of America has fought to ensure that our spinal cord injured veterans receive all the care they have earned. PVA also advocates for accessibility and civil rights for all people with disabilities and sponsors research to find a cure for paralysis.
Life is full of new challenges for our family.
Thank you, PVA, for helping us meet them.
Call 1-866-USA-4-PVA.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement. Saturday, October 15th, 2005, in Washington, D.C. St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement, call 361-9191 or toll free 866-361-9191 or online at mmmstlouis.org. It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. The Millions More Movement.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
GNU.net. So those are the digits get to us this morning. We are talking about an often overlooked issue, an often minimized issue, and in the light of everything else that's going on, people are not paying attention to what is going on in Afghanistan, and we need to do that because there are plenty of lessons to learn there and plenty of predictions to be made as a result of the activity taking place in Afghanistan. And joining us this morning to facilitate our conversation through the issue of what is happening in Afghanistan is the author of Afghanistan's Presidential Election, Spreading Democracy or a Sham. He's a Middle Eastern expert, Professor Nazif Shirani, Professor of Anthropology at Indiana University. He is joining us this morning from Bloomington, Indiana. Professor, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you, Liz, again.
And when we talk about, one of the things we were talking about on the way out was this extraordinary thing where the government has printed 40 million ballots,
right,
when there are only 12 million registered voters and each voter only needs one ballot.
Right.
What are the Afghanistan people doing in response to this? How? Because you've been there many times,
right,
and you're getting ready to go back again. How are the Afghanistan people responding to these elections?
Well, response is, I think reflected in the turnout.
Mm.
If half of the registered voters turn up, it tells you something clearly that they have become disinterested. But the other issue that I wanted to raise is that nobody really knows what the population figure in Afghanistan are.
Mm-hmm.
They have never had a census. The
mm-hmm.
country has never in its history had a complete census.
Mm.
So there are no identification cards that's universally available. Before the war, males only of certain parts of the country were issued a kind of identity card which really had to do with draft, that people who were 21 years of age had to serve for 2 years in the army. And women were never issued these cards. So we don't really know. And then during the war, about more than 7 million people were outside the country, in Iran, in Pakistan, and all around the world. So and these elections are based, again, on not knowing who really the Afghan citizens are and, whether there is any basis for registering them. In fact, in the registration, in the first election for the presidential one, there were cases of people registering multiple times and getting multiple identity cards so that they could go and vote as many times as they could. And there have been always accusations that people have voted many times. particularly people living along the Pakistan border, who are the same ethnic group on both sides, who speak the same language, the Pashtuns, that there are cases where people say people from Pakistan side basically were brought to register and vote on the Afghan side, because those who are running the country claim that the Pashtun are the majority in the country and that they have always produced majorities in any election for those who are in power. And the non-Pashtun are always saying that their numbers have been really estimated less than what they are. And, you know, one thing they could have done in the last 4 years, instead of having elections, they could have had an enumeration of the Afghan population so that there was some basis for organizing elections. And nobody really bothered to do that. So it's guesstimates. And even CIA, before the invasion of Afghanistan, was estimating that only 38% of the population in the country were Pashtuns, people who belong to the same ethnic group as President Karzai. But recently they have elevated that to 44%.
Based on what?
Yeah, so, I mean, there is confusion right there, and the basic things are not in place for having elections or claiming anything. And in the presidential elections, again, President Karzai ended up with 55% of the vote, and his, I think, first runner-up was at about 17%, and then the others at 10 and 11%, and so forth.
Well, if you were saying before the break that the elections to date have cost moving towards $1 billion.
Half a billion dollars.
Where does that money come from?
Well, this money comes from international donors. I mean, Afghanistan really doesn't have resources of its own.
How much American money is involved in this?
You know, fund any of this. And the worry is that elections, if they're going to be this expensive, the country will never be able to afford it.
How much of this money came from the United States?
I honestly don't know the exact amount, but I'm sure the United States donated a fair amount. And it came, a lot of it is probably from the UN, and people who have donated, the countries who have donated to the United Nations, could be European Union, could be also Japan. I think Japanese have poured in a lot of money on this. And then the U.S. has certainly contributed, I would say probably one-third or maybe even one half of it could be U.S. funds.
And this country, and in particular this administration, has made much ado of the fact that we have, by virtue of our presence in Afghanistan, have done something that no one else has been able to do. In that way, in that respect, we have gotten women in Afghanistan to become part of the election process. Women in Afghanistan have better status now as a result of our presence in Afghanistan. How has it worked out for the women of Afghanistan, this war and our presence and democracy?
Obviously, the most important achievement is getting rid of the Taliban. Whether they are going to be able to keep the Taliban out is something to be concerned about. In fact, to tell you honestly, the support that is right now available for the U.S. presence and for the continuation of President Karzai's government is the fear that if U.S. was not and make decisions. And not only that, in the last 4 years, Karzai has basically written laws about everything by decree and issued those legal codes out. And this parliament has to look at them. He has also signed agreements, including the one for the presence of U.S. troops and U.S. bases in Afghanistan into the future. All of these things have to be looked and ratified by the parliament. And what will happen to that?
And we have to take a break. We're talking to Professor Nazif Ashirani. He's a professor of anthropology, Indiana University, joining us from Bloomington, Indiana. He is also the author of Afghanistan's Presidential Election Spreading Democracy or a Sham. And he will be back along with me, Liz Brown, right after this break and our global news report. Stay with us. Yeah.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, Washington. There's been another suicide death of a State Department employee. The name of the female has not been released at this time, but it is known she worked in the Press and Public Diplomacy branch of the Middle East Policy Department. 2 years ago, an Iraqi analyst was said to have died by jumping headfirst from a secured roof of the State Department headquarters in Washington. And just weeks after that happened, a former CIA official who was opposed to the war reportedly jumped to his death from the Watergate Hotel complex. Officials said they were reportedly despondent over personal issues, but gave no other details surrounding the deaths. And Dateline New Orleans. Here's another horror story from the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. FEMA entered into an agreement with Carnival Cruise Lines to pay them $236 million to provide three ships to evacuate survivors from the afflicted Gulf Coast areas. The ships have a combined capacity of about 7,100 people, but right now they're only half full and are sitting stationary in Mobile Bay. A closer analysis reveals that with full capacity, the price per person comes out to over $1,200 a week. Now, you can get a 7-day cruise of the Caribbean for $600 a person, and the ship actually travels someplace. Illinois Senator Barack Obama says it's ludicrous to think it's cheaper to send evacuees on a luxurious 6-month cruise than to provide this type of federally sponsored shelter. Carnival got a lucrative contract because it said it had to bump about 100,000 passengers to accommodate the request, and it expected to be compensated for it. In another irony, Carnival Cruise Lines is based in Miami, but is incorporated in Panama for tax purposes, and wound up last year paying a measly $3 million in taxes on earnings of nearly $2 billion. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability.
Akbar Electric, Commercial Industrial Residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568, 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call, 382-2568.
Remember that song you sang in Sunday school? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Since 1994, Hope for the Nations has reached out in love to children in 20 countries on 4 continents, providing the security to help homeless children grow into confident young people, educating and training them to become effective community leaders, helping them to help others through business development. Discover how Hope for the Nations reaches out in love to the children of the world. Get involved yourself. Visit www.hopeforthenations.com. That's hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, a nonprofit organization turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994.
Hi, folks. This is Decent Guy Don, Ace Black helicopter pilot, your certified conspiracy hunter and all-around decent person. If you want to hear 3 hours of rock'em sock'em beat up on the New World Order crowd, tune in here at WGNU, 9:20 a.m. every Wednesday, 10 o'clock in the morning. We do a no razzmatazz, brass knuckles war on the New World Order crowd. Their house of cards is about to come crashing down, my friends. Come listen to the thunderous crash as we pull the linchpin from the fragile ivory towers of the neocons and insiders in Camp Runamuck every Wednesday morning, 10 a.m. with Decent Guy Don at WGNU, 9:20 a.m. Radio Free St. Louis. Stay tuned.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryant.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll-free long-distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. I am talking to Professor of Anthropology from Indiana University, Professor Nazif Shirani. He has written and traveled, spoke about Afghanistan extensively. One of his recent publications includes War, Factionalism, and the State in Afghanistan. And, Professor, welcome back.
Thank you, Liz, again.
One of the questions I wanted to ask you is, because we've heard this, at least I've heard this percolating through the news and different reports, say what you will about the Taliban. One of the things that's been attributed to positively to the Taliban has been the dealings with the spread of heroin. And now, and it has been reported that since the Taliban has gone and the United States has taken over, heroin has increased hugely. Is this true? Is this accurate?
I think these numbers are always produced by sources that are not terribly reliable. I mean, this year there has been also claim that opium production has been reduced compared to last year because presumably measures that this government has taken. But the truth is that the price of opium in the country shot up high in 2002-2003. And then it went down. The supply perhaps was too much, and maybe demand was lessened or something. In 2004, in the summer when I was there, people were actually shocked, the farmers, because they had put a lot more land under cultivation for opium poppies, and the harvest was not going to be, given the prices at the time, which was something like one-fifth of what it was in 2002-2003, that they were not going to be able to feed themselves. And the reason why they were growing it was because they wanted to be able to feed their families. And, of course, this year, I think they, obviously, rational people, they decided if the prices of opium is going to be so low, it's not worth their while, and they put more of their land under food crops. And that may be the reason for the decrease in acreage, if, in fact, that has happened. Whether the Taliban actually had managed to reduce the poppy cultivation is also questionable, because they may have been able to do it only in those areas that they controlled, and they did not control the entire country. The real reason may be that the presence of U.S. troops and international forces has made it easier for transportation of these opium poppies to Europe and West, that it has been, maybe there are people who may be involved in transportation, and some forces might be collaborating in this process. Certainly Pakistanis, the people across the border in Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, and others might be involved in this. So I think it's far more complicated a matter. And instead of really sort of drying up the demand in New York or Chicago or maybe even St. Louis or European cities, they are going to punish the poor peasants in Afghanistan, who really have no other means. And if you look at the real statistics in terms of how much money, in terms of assistance has been spent in the money and how much of that has been has reached the people in Afghanistan, the amount is very small. The only income the peasants in Afghanistan have had in the last 4 years has come from their production of opium poppies, which is basically a subsistence crop for them. For them, it's just another agricultural crop. It's what other people do with it in terms of refining it into heroin or other sorts of drugs for contraband. It's not them. It's people in the mafia out of Pakistan and maybe other places who go and turn this and make use of it. What the statistics I've seen is that the farmers probably have received somewhere close to maybe $7-8 billion capital that has fallen out of their agricultural crops in their hands directly, and that probably has sustained the people of Afghanistan in the last 4 years. So one has to look into this opium problem in Afghanistan more carefully and see from the perspective of the farmers and its utility. One thing that I need to also mention is that the opium poppy is not just the sap, is turned to heroin, but it has other uses. One of the very important problems that the country faces is shortage of fuel, and poppy stalks are used as fuel for cooking meals, for heating houses. Its seeds, of course, is used to produce cooking oil. And when they use the seeds to extract oil, it has a byproduct that's fed to their oxen for plowing, for farming. It's absolutely essential. The pods, the poppy pods, are also sold for cash for people. And if they burn the stalks of the poppy separately, they can use the ashes to extract caustic soda. And if you mix that caustic soda with the opium poppy seed oil, you can get soap to wash your clothes or clean your body. And
so it has.
There are many, multiple uses for this crop. And it's not just, all we see is, talk about the opium sap that is turned into heroin.
And Professor, we only have a minute left here. And I need to let people know, is there a way that people can get a hold of some of the articles that you have written?
Yes, I have a web page, actually. And the web page is www.indiana.edu/Afghan, A-F-G-H-A-N.
Very good. Thank you so much, Professor Nazif Sirani. Thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Now, thank you, Liz, for having me on your show, and I appreciate it very much.
My pleasure. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I want to give a note before we pass on today until our time tomorrow. Bernice Walker, a longtime businesswoman in St. Louis, age 93, has passed on. She passed on Saturday the 24th. She was the owner of Dupree's Playhouse and Bernice's Milano and Bernice's Oasis. Visitation will be at Austin Lane Friday from 4 to 8. The funeral at Friendly Temple, that's 5544 Martin Luther King, Saturday at 10 a.m. Bernice Walker, longtime businesswoman in St. Louis. Her funeral will be Saturday at 10 a.m. and the visitation is Friday from 4 to 8 at Austin Lane. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, stay strong.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. We need jobs. That's what Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco is telling the Senate Finance Committee.
Thousands of Louisiana businesses have been destroyed or displaced, creating a potential tsunami of unemployment and suffering.
The governors of Mississippi and Alabama are also testifying via video conference about life after Hurricane Katrina. The mayor of Port Arthur, Texas, Oscar Ortiz,